This is Rugby League on Proper Sport.
Yeah, welcome along to the most negative 2 hours of Rugby League broadcasting from across the UK, because we are the negative ones. Well, despite the fact, of course, we're here every single Monday, seemingly throughout the year, to talk Rugby League, and not the special when the football season's off for an international break, because them lot over there, you know what I'm talking about, they're talking football tonight for an hour with a man who's got a dodgy tweet history. But now we're talking Rugby League on Proper Sport for 2 hours. My name's Richie Shoring. You may have seen me on the internet this weekend talking about Rugby League, because we brought you, in association with 100 other broadcasting outlets, the Women's Challenge Cup Finals Day at Warrington. We'll be talking about that. Leeds Men in Crisis is the new hashtag, with Leeds winning the Challenge Cup. But the men are out, stuffed by the Warrington Wolves, and they will take on the team who are laughed at by the Saints fans. Don't you feel foolish now? Because the Catalan Dragons were 27-0 up at half-time. Should have had a man sent off. But they are the most evil people in Rugby League, because one of their players threw a ball into the crowd. And they're foreign. Plus, League One happened. And it's the qualifiers and the Super 8s and the Championship Shield, as we exclusively reveal who will be in the Championship Shield final in 7 weeks' time, because it's mathematically impossible for anyone else to be there. They're jostling for first and second for a trophy which has been won in the past by a team who now doesn't exist and has reformed, and Featherstone Rovers. It's a proper Rugby League, and yes, he is back in the studio. We'll introduce him in a moment here on Proper Sport.
You're listening to Rugby League on Proper Sport.
See, if we weren't live on Facebook, I'd have played the music from the golf, but like Facebook would throw us off. So back from 2 weeks of golf, it is Gary Schofield.
How are you, mate? You okay?
I'm okay. How are you?
Yeah, I'm very well, yes. See, Mr. Legend. Oh, by the way, I've not been away on holiday 2 weeks of golfing. I've been playing on two golf days, a Wakefield Trinity golf day, the Batley Bulldogs golf day. So that's where I've been for the last couple of weeks. And I tell you, one and all, Wakefield Trinity, we scored 100 points. People who don't understand the golf of this, Tableford scored 100 points in a bad effort. I tell you what, fellas, wasn't even in the prizes again. Right. And then last week at the Batley Bulldogs golf day, 94 points and not in the prizes again. Tell you what, fellas, it's just like my rugby league career. I can't win anything at golf.
And while you've been away, nothing's changed. Leeds are still rubbish. Oh. Keith Lee are out of the playoffs. Well, not mathematically, but they are. And we're all sang it all.
Yeah, we're all French, aren't we? Apart from obviously Warrington fans. Phil Kaplan is here. There'll be a new 40-20 out soon,
which we'll be giving away. Tickets to the Challenge Cup final.
And that's even before
we
do
it. Will. Oh, yeah. We're going to have 10 pairs of tickets. Plan B.
We haven't got any. Not yet, anyway.
Well, enter the competition.
Oh, I think I might be able to get some.
I'm in for any freebies, Phil. I don't mind the freebies now. Then is the
there might be a very tough question.
Was a free course meal for as well? I don't mind the old freebies.
Dragons based.
Mason, Caton and Brown's giving. Don't mind the freebies.
Hey, listen, let's get ripped in. Let's get ripped in these semi-finals anyway. Now let's get ripped in.
Hang on a minute. Hang on a minute.
You can tell he's been away.
What do you mean? Hang on a minute. I've been away for a fortnight, Rich.
He's going to peak too early.
I've got to introduce Tom Maguire, because he's here as well.
Also as well, Kaplan. Also as well, I've just got a little bone to pick with you as well.
Only one.
Yeah, the first show when I wasn't here on the 2 weeks, right? And Mark Wilson playing with the piece. And fair play to Mark Wilson, he stuck up for the legend. You said I went a little bit too early on Gaskell. Come on, Phil. Lee Gaskell for the last 18 months, 2 years, has been an absolute rubbish rugby league player. But now under Walford, he's becoming now one of the best standoffs in Super League, as we all know what a quality player he was when, as I mentioned previously, you know, the combination he had with Lomax. And you said, well, Scotty went a little bit too early. Explain yourself, Mr. Kaplan. He's been rubbish for 2 years.
Well, maybe he's always had the talent, but yeah, he's now found a coach that can bring it out of him.
Absolutely. Do you know what as well? I said to Matt Wilson at that as well. You know, I've mentioned plenty of times, players make coaches. Coaches don't make players. It's players who make coaches. Do you know what? And I tell you what, he's done a great job as Wilford. Did I say, the last 4 weeks, you know, I've seen Huddersfield play and being the top side, you know, in Hull, in Wigan, Wakefield. So the response, what he has got from there, and I put the question to Matt Wilson, I put the same question to you, Phil. What must Rick Stone be thinking? He's back in Australia. What must Rick Stone be thinking? My question is, Rick Stone, why did he coach the players like he did? Because quite clearly to everybody, he wasn't getting a response. But now the talent was there. They've got a coach in there who's letting them express themselves, let them play how they want to play. So, Rick, I just wonder what Rick Stone was thinking. Well, hold on, how did I get this so wrong? Because quite clearly he did.
Well, I think it helped that certainly this year McGilvray's and Cudjoe have reignited their partnership after injury, because I think that's been a massive part of it. How you handle Danny Brough has always been an issue for any coach at Huddersfield, and obviously Rick Stone didn't get the best out of him in some occasions, whereas Simon Wolford seems to, even with the three-match ban that he's had, said, you know, I need you, this is what I'd like you to do, I want you to even look after the number six outside of you. He'll give him some ball every now and again, because he can play a bit. And he's got a combination there. You talk a lot about, you know, they need to complement each other in the halves. Well, he's found a way of saying, I'm not going to be able to go out and buy too many people, though apparently Huddersfield are in the market for another half. So what I'll do is I'll mould the two that I've got into the best that they can be. Mm. They've got six and seven on the shirt, we might as well use them. And I think there's also been a slight change around in the coaching department. I was talking to Luke Robinson yesterday at the semi-finals. He's now more involved with the first team, and doing the defensive side of things, interesting, because he was a fine attacking player himself. So I think Chris Thorman and Simon Wolford are doing the attack. Luke Robinson's looking after the defence, and it's obviously clearly working for them.
It's interesting one that again, isn't it? There's another halfback who really didn't like defending, and the defence coaches plenty about it.
But if you put halfbacks in your coaching team,
Hey, listen, don't let me go in with that. Halfbacks should be on any coach's side. Don't worry about that, mate. Yeah, but anyway, so answer the question. Why did you give it to the legend about Gaskell? I went too early. We're rubbish for it. It's been rubbish for the last 2 years.
Well, this is never a program that goes too early on anything, is it? Like Steve McNamara should get sacked. The only thing we got right, I think, is Leeds in crisis. But apart from that, everything else we got wrong. No wonder
Saints are going to do the treble. We'll get that in.
I'll tell you what as well. We'll go on about the Catalans now. You mentioned McNamara, and what a fantastic performance. Hey, listen as well. Hey, I know what you're going to say as well. I know what you're going to say, but listen. I think I'm the only top pundit that said the Catalans would win. Hold on, because I know Mark Wilson will be listening. Saying, lads, get ripped into him. He said Saints will do the treble. Exactly. Yes, I did. The start of the season. I even said to Holbrook, I think you're going to do the treble this year. But when you look at the last 6 weeks, the way St. Helens have been playing, there's just not been that spark there. And I think Benny Barber, you know, he's not been the player what he has been, you know, for the last 6 weeks compared to the start from there. And I think maybe that's had a bit of a knock-on effect. But one thing for sure with the Catalan Dragons, as I said last week, they are the hardest hitting team in defence. They are the most aggressive team in defence, and certainly with ball in hand and all, with the creativity what they've got to at halfback in Drinkwater, and the number six, Phil, what's the number six?
Sammy Solanke, who's been, and again, he's Alanga. Almost like another forward.
Oh yeah, he's like an old-fashioned loose forward.
And he was really good. Yeah,
the quality what he is, and the speed what they've got, and you look at the size of the forwards, that the hardness. What they hit for, and the response what McNamara's got from them players, because we said on this show around about Easter time that he's only got two games left because Burnham's going to have to pull the trigger. And I must say as well, Burnham himself, he has got to take massive, massive credit for sticking with McNamara. Macca has always said he's got things in place, he's going to take time. The players have bought into that attitude, and yesterday's performance, when you looked at certainly the first 40 minutes, that was perfection. Simple as that. Perfection.
10 out of 10.
Blew St. Helens away. Just literally blew St. Helens away. They did a job on Roby. They could not get on the front foot. Roby got very, very frustrated with a point of view where, you know, he couldn't make any room from dummy half. But that first 40 minutes from the Catalan Dragons was absolute perfection. And, boy, so are you are you going to give me a bit of credit for tipping the Catalans?
No, because you said St. Helens would win the treble. So here's a question, then. St. Helens are the team that have used the least number of players this season.
Because they've had no injuries.
Justin Holbrook has been very loyal to the guys that have done the job.
And rightly so, because they've been in cracking form, Phil.
Only picked 22.
Yeah.
Did that backfire yesterday?
I don't think so. No. All the players have been in form, haven't they? They're not injured. So you've got
lost three games all season.
Yeah, you've got to stick to a winning side, Phil.
Just saying, they've got a lot of youngsters there that haven't played in that kind of an environment before.
So let me get this straight. Are you suggesting that Danny Richardson? In which case, let me question this back to you. Danny Richardson, of course, one of the form players of the year. He's been part of this successful Saints side. Are you suggesting that maybe the pressure got to him yesterday?
No, I'm not talking about him. I think the pack were.
But he's one of the most regular players in the Saints side.
But the pack were dominated yesterday. Yeah. and no halfback and or hooker can do too much on the back of a pack that's been absolutely remorselessly physically taken
But isn't
apart.
That credit to the Catalan Dragons? They knew exactly what they were outplaying the opposition.
But
and,
I'm just trying to find a... Is that a reason behind maybe Saints not having the same energy and intensity levels because players have played a lot of minutes this season?
Listen, it's a semi-final of the Challenge Cup, so if they can't get up for that, it doesn't matter. You know, nobody's carrying injuries. Everybody was in great form. And I say, Catalans literally just did a fantastic job. They knew themselves with the forward. And if I'm honest with you, and I said that Catalans would win by seven. Come on, let's give us a bit of a round of applause. But anyway,
I
must admit, fellas, right, when I heard, I didn't even know Greg Bird had been sent off at Wigan. But then when I heard he was suspended, I thought to myself, well, he's a warrior in that side. And then, if I'm honest with you, if anybody would have asked me on Wednesday, and I said, I've changed my mind now. Without Greg Berg, I don't think the Catalans could beat Saints. But oh boy, how wrong have I been? But so, the chairman Bernard, what's his surname, Phil?
Gouache.
Bernard Gouache.
With the meat cleaver.
He has got to take massive credit by sticking with McNamara. And let me just say this as well now. Let me say this, and I'm not jumping on the bandwagon because I've got to Wembley. The way McNamara has turned that side around since April. Because what was it? The first 10 games, he's only won two victories in 10.
2 out of 11.
Tell you what now, McNamara. Coach of the year, give him it now.
Whatever happened to Ben Barber? You remember him? He was the Man of Steel elect, and
he's gone missing for the last 6 weeks.
Safe to say that the probably the best player on the field was the man playing opposite him, Tony Gigo. Absolutely superb. Mm. But I think you're right. I mean, there's some of those Catalan players that were exceptional. Michael McAlorum is the fulcrum of everything they do. I just love the way Remy Casti plays. He is the epitome of that team. I think Mikhail Simon, since he's gone back there, absolutely outstanding. Bousquet's offloads off the bench. It's a very potent mix. But where it's backfired in the past is with their discipline. And that they've been a team that have had the talent, but they haven't had the temperament, giving away too many penalties. I thought they were almost perfect, discipline-wise, in that semi-final. And again, you look at Drinkwater coming in on the back of such a dominant pack has had an amazing effect. That is a different Josh Drinkwater to the one that we'd seen playing behind beaten packs at London and Lee.
I think the word we're looking for, Phil, with the Catalan Dragons, the way they're playing it, they've been smart in everything what they're doing out there. You talk about the discipline, they've been a lot smarter with the discipline, a lot smarter with the ball in hand. Defensive-wise, they've been very smart. But I say, boy, oh boy, how aggressive are they defensively? They have got to be. And also, as well, when the forwards are taking that ball, how hard, you know, straight and direct.
Into the defensive harder line. Bench than those Catalan
There's not a harder pack of forwards in Super League. They're sensational.
Will they lose Kenny Edwards, the latest?
What has he done on him? What did he do?
Well, after a try was scored, he ran over and picked up the ball and threw it into the crowd, and it's hit a woman in the crowd. Might be referred.
How many other players throw balls into the crowd if it hadn't have hit someone? I haven't seen it because I was there and you were there, Phil, and we haven't seen it. But if... People throw the balls into the crowd all the time.
Was it a celebration throw, or was it like an American football throw to
We didn't see it.
Oh, right, we haven't seen it.
This is why when people have been upset today that no one seems to be talking about this, if you were at the game, you probably didn't notice. Because you were busy.
Well, to be honest with you, the way the Catalans play, why would you want to be talking about a little bit something like that? You know, what the Catalans did.
They're apparently appealing the Greg Bird suspension. He got 4 games, which would mean he would miss the final. But I believe they may be going to Red Hall this week to try and get it downgraded to 2.
I'll tell you what, Wolfie, for sure. But what I'm saying is, a player who will get dropped for Greg Birdie, he will be a little bit cheesed off, won't he?
But that isn't that. Don't you want competition for places in the run-up to Wembley?
Without a doubt.
Fantastic.
Without a doubt. But I say the performance was literally sensational.
Benjamin Garcia, fantastic. Absolutely brilliant. Benjamin Julian, after his stint at Warrington, 8 of the players French. It's again, anybody see the crowd scenes when they got back to Perpignan Airport last night?
Yeah, on Twitter it looks absolutely fantastic. The
reaction,
airport
arrival,
the welcome,
lounge is full, and they're singing the Catalonian national anthem, the players getting mobbed, fans opening champagne over the players, which you don't do in France normally.
Plenty of people get in touch though, Rich.
Yeah, well, let me just tell you before I forget that today's show is brought to you by Pontefract Racers In The Zone Family Day. Experience the final brilliant family fun day of the season with tons of special events on Sunday, 19th of August. And I've read the Daily Express, and apparently it's going to be sunny forever. So there's good news for you there. In The Zone Fun Day is the perfect way for all the family to learn more about racing. You can walk the course, get a behind-the-scenes tour of the race course, and meet famous horses from the past. There's also a fun fair, face painting, circus, and Hunt the Golden Horseshoe competition. And not forgetting about the racing, there's also this £60,000 Highfield Farm Flying Fillies listed race, with some very speedy equine ladies on display. To book your family package, tickets for Sunday the 19th of August today, head to pondy-racers.co.uk. And we should talk about that.
Do the horses now, they're famous?
I don't know. But they probably get bigger stables.
You know, with that little bit at the end, that's like, and learn more about the the previous, like, you know, historical horses. It almost sounds like they're bringing them back to life. Yeah. It's a bit weird that.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is the kind of thing that we need to do more of in rugby league. Here's a list of all these things that are happening, and there's also some racing. So we should say, here's all these things you can do by coming to the rugby league, and there's a rugby league match as well.
Should we go through?
It gets people there. Yeah, let's go through.
So plenty of people, very happy you're back, Gary.
Oh, thanks. Thank you very much.
Mainly relatives, it must be said.
There was a, hooray, Scoey's back, says Jill Edwards. So what does he think about Leeds' shambles of a team?
We'll come on to that.
Good to see you on Saturday on the BBC, Richard. We'll come on to that.
With the Desmond Lynham jacket.
Yeah.
If only I had a quarter of the talent of Des. What a man he was.
You need the grey hair properly.
I could lend you some.
Oh, and then plenty of people talking about Saints. Now, Ellis has got in touch saying, Barber was clearly injured. Why is he indulged? Needs time. Can't be carrying passengers. But he says one thing. He's not used to this workload, and it shows. We missed Wormsley, our pack got smashed. We better be prepared for the next seven games. Now, when I spoke to James Roby, he was saying that, you know, the League Leaders' Shield is not a foregone conclusion. If they performed like they did against Catalan, don't get me wrong, I'm not taking anything away from Catalan, much like Harrison's got in touch with and saying that it's nothing to do with experience, Catalans were awesome. But, Saints performed anywhere near like they did on Sunday, then it might actually be a bit of a shaky running for them. I don't know.
Tom, let's say at the end of the day, St. Helens weren't allowed to play. Catalans
because Catalans were that awesome, I agree.
Catalans just literally bat. You can only play as well as what the opposition let you. The Catalans literally did a job on them. They absolutely battered them. When the Saints had the ball, they battered them. And then when Catalans had the ball, they battered them again because the forwards, and I say the way the hardness of where they take the ball in, hard and straight and direct, St. Helens just couldn't control them. So take nothing away from the Catalans' performance. They just, you know, wasn't that St. Helens didn't perform as everybody's known to their best. It's simple. Catalan Dragons just did not let them play.
I think the other teams that have got to face St Helens have seen a blueprint. I'm just not sure that they've got as many and as many big forwards as the Dragons have got. I think they are pretty much unique in the way that they're playing at the moment.
I'll tell you what as well, they're not just about forwards. You look at the half-back partnership, and you look at the creativity, what they've got, sensation, and also as well in the back line, they've got plenty of pace. Mm. So they're a very, very well-balanced side.
Meade and Willie Arm is a lovely centre combination as well.
Absolutely.
He's very good, Willie Arm.
And I'll tell you what, I'm predicting it now. The Catalans are winning the Challenge Cup.
We have been asked,
how do you think they'll do in the eights? Do you think they could maybe shake up something in the eights?
Who, the Catalans?
Yes.
Well, to be honest with you, they play Warrington this week, don't they? And so then, and I would imagine now what Steve McNamara's done, the players themselves, the players know who's playing at Wembley. They would have already mapped this out. From a proviso that they won. So they would have already mapped this out. So the players would have known who's playing this Friday. They would have known. They will know from there. I don't know. Who do they play the week after?
I couldn't tell you, but on Friday night they've got
Wigan at home.
So they play Wigan at home from there. So they, over the next 2 weeks, they would have pre-planned. They would have pre-planned by, yes, we're going to win on Saturday. So they would on Sunday. So they would now pre-plan what the team's going to be for Warrington, what the team's going to be for Wigan, and McNamara and them players will know now who is and who isn't playing at Wembley.
So they're going to address people then.
So rest people this Friday.
Yeah, of course they'll rest people, yeah.
But I think they'll want to put the nearest possible full team out against Wigan and play the way they want to play at Wembley. They might rest a couple because there's always, you know, they may not play McAllora, for example,
against
Wigan.
Anywhere near the top four. So
no,
they've got 80 minutes for the entire season. Yeah. Absolutely.
And the other thing about Wembley is it does take out of you mentally and physically just being part of that occasion. So, no, they can't make the top four.
I'd like to thank Steve McNamara for saying after the game yesterday who the next two teams were again, so I'd remember for to the Super League website, which was good. Anything else at the moment on Catalans and Saints?
Yeah, so Toby Griffiths got in touch saying Richardson should be guiding them Saints around and getting them around the field, and he didn't.
Isn't that as Phil said earlier, because he was behind a beaten pack? Mm. In the same way that we could say the same for Leeds' halfbacks.
But the thing is as well, how important was Richardson the other week when that 55-metre kick? It's a dead ball, Phil, but it's a different scenario. But at the end of the day, he was an influential role in that game, and he won them the game. So
this is knockout football at the semi-final stage, which he's not experienced before. it won't do him any harm at all. It might even be very important come the semi-final that St Helens will be in to get to Old Trafford. It's all part of experience.
You're not telling me that Saints fans are blaming Richardson for that on Sunday, are they?
No, but this is the person's asking and saying that Richardson should be the one bossing them around the park.
Yeah, listen, when your forwards are being dominated, your halfback can't do it. It's as simple as that.
Well, even James Roby yesterday couldn't be the player that we've seen for most of the season because Catalan did a number on him.
You could tell how frustrated Roby was because he was always nagging at the referee. Yeah. There's one thing I don't like. I don't like people nagging at referees.
And, said the man who was sitting on the descent.
I don't like people nagging at referees, but you could see the frustration on James Roby. You don't have to see that with Robes, do you? You know, because
he knew they weren't going forward.
They'd done a job on him, you know, so from there. So at the end of the day, doesn't matter how good your halfbacks are, if your forwards are getting battered, that's exactly what happened to St Helens. Richardson,
apart from Luke Thompson, who I thought really tried to give him it back.
Yeah, sensational.
And I thought Louis McCarthy Scarsbrook off the bench again gave him an impetus, but that was a 10 out of 10 first half. I haven't seen a more complete performance in the opening 40 minutes. And Justin Holbrook said so afterwards, you're not going to come back from that. You do the best you can to get back in the game, but you know in a semi-final, 27-0, you are not going to score 5 tries, but more than that, your defence isn't going to improve to the point where you can keep the opposition out.
I think as well, when you look to the ball in hand as well with the Catalans, how smart they were, you know, because you look at that Samoa try. He knew exactly, you know, the standoff, I can't pronounce his name.
Samisoni Lange.
Yeah, it's Lange. I'll call him Joe. Anyway, Joe's a standoff at the Catalans. You know, just absolute peach of a ball to Moa. And they knew exactly what they were doing. They picked out the small defender and Samoa hard and straight and direct. You weren't going to stop him from that distance. But again, that was just smartness play from the Catalans. Do you know what? They were an absolute pleasure to watch on Sunday.
And I think that they've worked out now their energy battle so that they know that Moa can do a really good 30 minutes because the guy who's coming on will do a really good 30
Remy
minutes.
Remy Cassidy, how good's he at the moment?
Talk about Man of Steel, it'll get more prominent as we get towards the end of the season. Sometimes we forget how good players are at the start. I get that, but at the moment you'd have to stick Remy Cassidy in there as a potential candidate.
So what do you reckon then, boys? I've called it. Catalans still win the Challenge Cup. What do you reckon?
They've given the 6-point start from the bookmakers at the moment, but things of course could change in the next couple of weeks.
They've got 6 start. I'm telling you, get on. I'm not getting a response from you. You don't fancy the Catalans winning the Challenge Cup?
Well, we've got 2 weeks to wait to see.
Oh, come on, fellas. Come on.
Their last final was 2007.
Yeah.
So, and they haven't been, well, and they're still technically rebuilding that new squad under Steve McNamara.
Warrington have been experienced since 2008. 2008 St Helens, it's 10 years since St Helens have been at a Challenge Cup final.
That in the final. Warrington, who have clearly been in the Challenge Cup final, they've won it.
Oh, so you're saying
lost.
Experience now?
I think experience is going to win it out.
What about the quality of the Catalans players? How much experience have they got?
But give me this, Gary. Like at the end of the day, everyone thought that Castleford were going to walk the grand final. Experience saw it out.
No, they didn't.
Well, a lot of people did.
I think there's another issue, a factor that will weigh heavily in the Dragons' favour, which Steve McNamara will be playing on with them, if not publicly. And that is, in their 13th season, they get the chance to win their first trophy.
And what a trophy.
If you can say to your 19 players, you are going to be history makers... Mm. You barely need to say anything else.
This is a legacy they can live. What they can create and leave.
Imagine, you know, when they paint the murals at the Stadio de Brutus, it'll be the 17 people that won the club the first trophy.
They'll all get the keys to the city, won't they?
Absolutely. Well, you know how they celebrate. I mean, we talked about the reception they got when they came back. The place will go absolutely berserk if they were to win it. I don't think we should expect too many Catalonians to come over and watch the final because logistically France in August is an absolute nightmare. I think they will get some there. They've only got 3 weeks to arrange it. Know how difficult it is to get flights at this time of the year when the air traffic controllers are always going on dispute, but they're incredibly expensive. It's the peak of the French holiday season. A lot of people have already made their arrangements. They won't be able to suddenly, you know, cancel a holiday to go to Wembley. But rest assured, if the Dragons win and take that beautiful trophy back to the south of France, they will be partying for days.
Our leader as well, Mr. Ralph Rimmer, has come out now and says, well, we had plan A, but now we've got to go to plan B. Do you know what, Phil? Do you know what, fellas? You know, As I keep saying about the Challenge Cup, it's the biggest competition in World Rugby League in my eyes. Everybody wants to play at Wembley. Everybody wants to go there. So all I'm saying to all Rugby League fans, whether you're Saints fans, your Wigan fans, your Leeds fans, your Barrow fans, your Keighley fans, your Whitehaven fans, Feversham, you know, let's get down to Wembley and celebrate this great occasion, because history could be, history, so just, it's like the old Max Boyce sit down and say, I was there. Mm-hmm. You know, so the Challenge Cup is a Rugby League game for every supporter in Rugby League, isn't it? It's in the capital city, as we know. It's at Wembley. So let's all get there, because it will be a quality game of Rugby League.
Definitely. Don't give tickets away, because those that have already bought them in advance deserve the reward of doing that. The competition has to have a value.
Yeah.
If only 30 or 40,000 people turn up, so be it. Let it be a celebration. But let's not have loads of people on social media saying, oh, what are the RFL going to do to get a crowd? Well, the best way to get a crowd is go
there. Correct. Absolutely. And watch a cracker game of Rugby League and celebrate the Challenge.
It's a great game.
That's what it's all about.
Or just sit at home on the internet and mind that there's no one there afterwards, which is what people will do.
Great little ploy yesterday at Bolton, and no doubt we'll talk about whether Bolton itself was a success, but the Dragons bought 1,000 flags and gave them out to fans of anybody other than St Helens, and again that helped add colour.
Did the Dragons buy that or the RFL?
No, the Dragons brought them themselves. I hope we do something like that at Wembley as well.
As I was told as well, Phil, I was told on Thursday that the Catalans had only sold 16 tickets.
I think there were about 110 there in the party, but that included the players.
No, so the salt 16 tickets.
Well, in fairness, it's easier to sell people to say, come to the south of France and watch Rugby League than come to Bolton. No disrespect to Bolton. Mm. Or come to a shopping arcade mall thing on the outskirts of Bolton.
Let's not forget that the World Cup final at Old Trafford, which didn't include an England team, had 74,000 people in because we wanted to see the best players in the world on the biggest stage. Well, you're now going to have two teams that will produce a great final. The potential of either history being made or a really good Warrington team getting their reward. Why wouldn't you want to go?
I agree.
Go.
I agree.
But please, RFL, do not just give bulk loads of tickets away. Don't cheapen the event.
Join us next week. When you can win 1,000 tickets.
Yeah, but winning it's fine. But don't just find people to give them to.
John's got in touch on Facebook saying they're already giving free tickets away.
Are they?
Well,
who and how?
Yeah, but if you got to, you know, kick a ball in the middle of the Bolton pitch and hit the crossbar to win a grand and get some free tickets, is that what you're on about, John?
I sort of get it if you're giving them to the foundations of clubs and they're giving them out to underprivileged
schools.
That's what the RFU do with tickets.
I get that, but you know, I think for those people that buy their tickets in advance, for Warrington fans who are going to have to pay face value for their tickets, don't give them away.
Yeah.
Don't cheapen the product. And if the stadium doesn't look full, that's where we are with rugby.
I'll tell you, we'd be interested as well from St Helens fans, because when we got this draw 8 weeks ago, so I wonder how many St Helens fans had already pre-booked their tickets and pre-booked their hotels. St Helens fans, if you're listening, I'm sure you are out there, just tell us, are you still going, or have you cancelled?
Please go.
On the day of the Challenge Cup, on the BBC, you can see those Saints fans. They're cheering because they thought they were already there.
But so they should have done, because there's 9 weeks between the quarter-final and the semi-final.
But it's a cup competition.
There was no form from when that draw was to where we are now.
I think that was... I'm not trying to anger anyone. I'm not trying to anger any Saints fans, but I think that was foolish of them. I think that was absolutely foolish. I'm not doing where I'm just annoying every set of fans.
You'll be looking forward to that weekend anyway, Scooter, because Keith, are you down there on the Friday night against the Scholars?
Yeah, but I can't go.
Oh,
I can't go because I'm doing the RAF presentation. I'm speaking down there, so the RAF have a big night from there, and this was put in the diary a while ago. But I'm down there. I'm down there, and obviously, being part of the Hall of Fame, so I'll be in the Royal Box, and
Matt's presenting the cup.
I'll tell you what, I'm looking. I reckon it'd be absolute belter. As I keep saying, the Challenge Cup for me is the biggest cup competition in the world. Everybody wants to be part of it. Get there, because it's going to be a belter, belter.
Me and Tom will be some of those media freeloaders who are there just one game a year.
We're doing the last tackle there, like we did last year. It's one of the most viewed we've ever done, so that's why we're going to be doing it.
Kind of freeloaders. Before we move on, there's nothing else we need to say about Saints and Catalans, is there, at the moment, I think?
There's plenty of people getting in touch, but many saying the same similar things. Yeah. I think lots of wanting to talk about Leeds. Lots of people are asking about the crowd at the cup final, obviously.
Well, again, it's either go or don't. It's your decision.
The crowd at the cup final will be determined by the people who are saying, what will the crowd be at the Cup Final?
And if you don't want to go, don't go. But then don't moan afterwards that no one's there. I know it's expensive. I know it's not cheap to get to London. I don't know how much the Megabus is on that weekend. But it, big finals in big places.
Houston Station's closed, though.
Yeah. Everywhere's expensive to go.
I can't find this comment, but someone did suggest that 6 out of 10 people, if the tickets were a tenner, would go.
Yeah, but... Can you make money off tickets at a tenner?
No,
this is the great quandary where clubs give away season tickets and then realise, oh, we've got no money now.
But if Salford got to the final, would we expect tickets to be a tenner? The final is the final. Don't devalue it.
Yeah, exactly.
What this does show, though, is something that we've talked about on here for as long as I can remember, about making Wembley even more of an occasion and the double-header principle. So I think this is the classic example that the RFL will now have wished that they'd kept the Northern Rail Cup going and could have had it as a curtain raiser, because you can imagine that, pick two teams. Now, let's say Bradford were playing Featherstone in the Challenge Cup Shield.
There's 20,000 fans
as a curtain raiser.
20,000 fans.
We wouldn't even be talking about lowering ticket prices to get people there.
20,000 fans there, isn't there?
And the one thing that we did find at Bolton yesterday, and obviously there's lots of criteria by which you decide whether it was a success or not, was there were shirts of teams that weren't playing,
so
that went
Wakefield
as an event.
Shirts there. And we were knocked out months ago when we were rubbish at Huddersfield.
So, you know, and they weren't offering cheap tickets to the semi-final.
Well, Phil's really sorry.
But I'm going to answer this from Gary, because this is a silly question. Do we pay to go to watch games? No, because we're working. Not all media people there are working necessarily. But when we go to games, we're there to cover them, we're there to work. When I went to York Races the other week, I was not working, I paid to go watch.
Well, we pay to get down there, we pay to buy food and drink, but we don't pay a match ticket price because we are working.
I know people think we're not working.
1,500 words on it, which hopefully somebody might read, but it is genuine work.
Tom did lots of great videos yesterday. You can see them all on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, in The Last Tackle. I was there reporting for a national radio station.
People want the reaction from players and coaches in the aftermath. That's what hopefully we're there to provide. So we are working.
Does Gary pay for this? He's a Hall of Famer.
Well, before we move on from Catalans and Saints, just really quickly, Tom, I think he might have missed you saying it, Scott, sort of talking about Josh Drinkwater, Scotty, but he's asking about Josh Drinkwater possibly being a candidate for Man of Steel.
He may come a little bit too late to the season, but one thing for sure, he's been sensational, hasn't he? And yeah, I watched Lee quite a bit last year, if I'm honest with you, from there. And at Lee, well, again, it's like when you look at Gaskell, you know, at Lee, Drinkwater was absolute rubbish. He was garbage. You know, so again, it's just coaches who were just not him being allowed to play how he wants to play. And I saw an interview by Drinkwater in the League Express a couple of weeks ago, and he says he's loving playing under McNamara because he's been given that freedom. He's been allowed to play without vision and awareness what he's got.
And he's been allowed to play. He's been beautifully protected.
The forward pack are in there. But also as well, though, Phil, what he's doing, he's taking advantage of all that, but he's showing what a quality halfback he is. He's creative wide, the ball in hand, his kicky game is very good because he varies it all the time. You know, so again, it's just showing you what a quality player he is when he's allowed to express himself, and it is easy, yeah. When the pack of forwards, what he's got, but he's just proving what a quality halfback is, and the coach has let him play how he wants to play.
There's also another creative outlet in the team in Gigo. So if you're the opposition, you know, if Drinkwater doesn't get you, Gigo will. And I think again, a bit like we saw with Castleford last year, if Luke Gale didn't get you, Zach Hardacre would. So they've got some fantastic options that he doesn't have to do everything all the time.
Well, that's great variation playing, and this is what I keep saying about the halfback combinations. When you look at Huddersfield now, Bruffy for the first 10 minutes doesn't touch the ball; it's all Gaskell. Gaskell does all the kicking, and then Bruffy says, okay, it's my 10-minute spell now. And then after that, they're both are saying to each other, right, we're both playing the right side of the field. So it's great variation, it's great balance. You know, and that, if you want to be winning games, you need your right balance at the right time with your halfbacks. And both halfbacks, they know exactly what role they are playing. They know when they're in the game, they know when they're out of the game. But then the balance is right when they both decide to say, okay, then we're both part of this now, and this is where we're going to create. It's great to watch. Most coaches don't do it.
You'd have loved to play behind that Castellan pack, wouldn't you?
Oh boy, would I.
How much damage could you have done? Well, you know, you just beat a few up, leave me some space, I'll pop in, do some damage. Thank you very much.
Yeah. The game's easy now. Let the donkeys do the hard work and let the pretty boys score the tries. There you go. It's easy. Simple, basic rugby league. It is.
I've paid to watch a game this season. I've forgotten. Wakefield Witness in the Women's Championship. So they got paid. So I don't know what difference that makes, really. To all the people you watch, did they charge Mark Chapman to go for the BBC or Brian Noble or whoever? You know,
I think you don't focus too much on it.
No,
but
no,
anyway.
it's a nonsense argument. It's like saying, like when you get those ex-footballers say, well, you can't talk about football because you've never played the game. But they go on about referees being rubbish, even though they've never refereed the game.
Well, speaking about referees being rubbish, we're going to come on to the women's...
Let's talk about the women's final now, because you want to talk... this up first, and then we'll segue into it.
So there's been plenty of people getting in touch regarding the referee of the Challenge Cup, the Women's Challenge Cup final game. So just a quick example of some of them. Keith got in touch. I was disgusted with the ref that at the Women's Cup final. Missed loads that Leeds did. And then there must have been loads of extra time to come with injuries in the second half. But he blew when the Cass were about 10 metres away from the Leeds line at bang on 40 minutes. The thing is...
No, he didn't, because we've got a clock on screen.
Right, we've got a clock on screen that's probably completely wrong. We're nowhere near timed up to the referee. So we might have... We might not have got the time right. But the thing is, the other day we brought the... stream to the BBC, the Outer League app, and on our own Facebook. At the end of the day, this wouldn't have been broadcast. This entire event of the Challenge Cup women's final would not have been seen by anyone on broadcast if it wasn't for Proper Sport. Now, I know we're trying to almost tooting our own horn there, but it's the exact sort of thing that we wanted to do, where we want to help the development of the game. So we're immensely pleased and proud, and thank you everyone that's been so nice to us. But the referee bashing.
Penalty count 6-6. That's not what Ray Marsden's written in the League Express.
I was there in person, watched the entire game. I thought the referee was fine. Phil?
I don't want to talk about it. Why give it the oxygen and publicity?
Exactly.
And before we get on to this game,
can't we just celebrate? It was the most sensational game.
Have you seen what's happened in Australia with Matt Chechen? That's what you're wanting to do. You're wanting to lynch referees, whether they make mistakes or not. Matt Chechen is being strung up for getting a decision right. Stop banging on about referees. That's the end of the referee thing.
Coming back to the Challenge Cup
prices. Safe to say that none of the Castleford people we spoke to afterwards mentioned the referee.
No.
But the players and coaches.
But the coaching team were going past us, didn't seem to be too happy about the fact that they lost and...
Of course, because they gave everything.
Yeah. I understand
Listen, referees, you know, they don't miss tackles. They don't sling forward passes. They don't drop the ball.
No, they don't.
So it's a nonsense. Absolute nonsense.
Did you manage to catch any of it, Gary? Did you manage to catch any of the games?
No, I didn't see any of it. No. But say, you know, the referees can only give what they see, and it's a nonsense. The human, they're going to get things right, they're going to get things wrong. Move on.
Castleford's women were absolutely magnificent.
Tara Stanley's, if you've not seen it yet, Tara Stanley's step for the opening try was just brilliant. It took 20 minutes nearly to get the first try, and that's not because of a lack of quality. Well, if anything, it was because of immense quality in the defence.
I hope all the people who couldn't get a ticket to Bolton yesterday, because it was a sellout, were watching the BBC coverage and saw at half time of the Leeds and Warrington game that tackle by Charlotte Booth, wasn't it, on the Casper player to stop the first try, and then they scored anyway because it was a great tackle. And score all the great action, which was shown at halftime, on BBC One, on the biggest channel in the country.
But there are frustrations. People have got in touch asking about... So Gavin's put here, nice of 6pm's BBC News on Sunday to cover every sport over the weekend, except rugby league, despite the fact that they covered the bloody event. No need for the swearing, Gavin.
Well, again, that's
it's down to individual sports editors, and maybe we need to do a bit more work. The media world works a little bit with schmoozing. I thought the reason we'd moved to Salford Quays was so we would be nearer to the BBC. Maybe... A former journalist coming back into the role of media manager will help that going forward.
Are you telling me that the RFL are moving their entire office purely
One of the reasons that they put a sub-office in Salford and Key West was to be near key broadcast partners.
That to me seems a bit silly. The fact is, you need to be building up a relationship regardless of geographical location. I think that's rubbish. If you're not building up a relationship with these broadcasters already, what are you doing?
In response to this letter in the paper that says, you know, why wasn't it mentioned on BBC on Saturday morning? Well, A, it was on Sunday. And B, Hadn't the Challenge Cup been on Breakfast News or whatever it's called a couple of days earlier? I know this sounds like I'm a hypocrite listener.
The women's cup final was mentioned both on local and national BBC on the Sunday morning.
The highlights are on the website, and look who put them together. That was us.
We're proud of it.
We are proud.
I hope you enjoyed it.
That was us.
Yeah, so Scott, obviously the game, if you want to go watch it, top quality two games. The second game is really, really good. The actual cup, there was the Shield. Bradford, well done to them, obviously beating Stanley. Stanley were in it.
So obviously the women play better than the men then?
Well,
they do.
In terms of the leads, definitely.
Yeah, in terms of leads, yeah.
Exactly. Well, people have asked us, so we might as well get on to that.
Give some of them a couple of haircuts, get them in the team, they'll know.
Plenty of people are asking you what you think about it, so Craig's got in touch. What's this excuse this week about Leeds being rubbish? Is it 25 players injured, ground not built yet, digging up the road outside the training ground, or is it Ronnie the Rhino has had chicken pox for the last few weeks? Oh, whatever the excuse, it won't be Sir Kev's fault, Craig Reynolds got in touch with.
Well, I've been saying now for the last, what have we got now, 1-13, have we? And that was against a very, very poor and rubbish with the sign, isn't it? But it's quite clear again. And certainly when you look at some of the Warrington's tries and the long distance one, there were no players listed, any Leeds players were in about 25, 30 yards. So that just tells me, from a point of view, with that jersey what them players are wearing, there ain't any pride, not a lot of passion. And I'm not seeing desire, and one thing for sure, there's two things I'm not seeing. I'm not seeing leadership, and I'm not seeing any sort of creativity. I'm not. Warrington didn't have to play that well yesterday. And what did they put on us? 48 points. 48 points. They didn't have to play well. And do you know what? Because, as I say, I was up in Workington yesterday watching Keefe play from there, and I caught for the last 10 or 15 minutes of the first half. And when I saw the big guy, Big Ben, literally going 25 yards and not have a single finger laid on him from there, I just thought, come on, fellas, you're better than this. This is the Challenge Cup semi-final. You know, it's the biggest cup competition in World Rugby League from there. And as you know, I've been away for the last couple of weeks. I've been
golfing.
I've been playing golf from there. And the Leeds performance at this moment in time is like my golf all over the place. All over the place, because there's just nothing there. There's nothing there, and them players, and I tell you what, cause I'm not blaming any coaches, it's the same in the black and whites with Radford. What Radford, how he defended his players after the 72 points to Wakefield, I don't understand it. Them players made themselves available, them players declared himself fit and put performance in like that. So I'm not blaming the coaches for that performance from Leeds yesterday, it's them players. Them players need to take a long, hard look at themselves, because if they don't, and at this moment in time, we've not made too many signings for next year. We've signed the halfback from Tonga or Samoa, Phil, and maybe you may be saying we might have one more player coming in. But I tell you what, it doesn't matter who comes in next year and coaches that lead side. They are not going anywhere near the top four, maybe not the top eight, with that sort of commitment. What sort of commitment, I should say? What I should say is lack of commitment, lack of desire, lack of effort. You know, from them players, what I saw yesterday, and they've got to take a long, hard look at themselves.
Not having any of that pride, passion, effort and commitment. I'll have the fact that they've no confidence at the moment. I'll have the fact that they're playing dumb at the moment. I'll have the fact that they haven't got forwards that can do what Catalan do and halfbacks on the back of that. But there is no lack of pride, passion and commitment. And there isn't in any rugby league player.
We must be watching a different team than me.
Right. The other thing is it a group of poor players, or is it a group of players playing poorly? 11 of those 17 won the grand final last year. They're not poor players. They won the competition last year.
I haven't said the poor players.
There is no lack of pride and passion.
I haven't said the poor players.
You cannot say that about any rugby league player.
Right, okay. So how come
did St Helens have a lack of pride and passion in the second half?
So how? No, they were just absolutely hammered by a far better side. But Phil Warrington didn't even have to play well yesterday, and they got 48 points on it.
There is a real issue at the moment with some of the players in the lead shirt that have absolutely run out of confidence. And how you rebuild that?
So you are admitting that some of them players are not good enough to play for Leeds. Even your mate on television, Jamie Peacock, says some of these players for Leeds, and fair play to Peacock, he said the players in that Leeds side, they are not good enough to wear the Leeds jersey, but they're not, Phil.
So name them. 11 of the 17 won the grand final.
Well, I'll tell you, Liam Sutcliffe, What's he doing playing in the Leeds jersey?
Won a grand final.
What is he doing playing? What is Richie Marley doing playing in the Leeds jersey? What is Joe Moon doing playing? What is Joe Moon doing playing in the Leeds jersey?
Joe Moon is one of the ones that is suffering the most with a lack of confidence.
But also as well, right, they have been warriors for us. They've been sensational players for Leeds. But JJB is coming to the end. Ablett is coming to the end from there. You know, so... You know, so
yeah,
let's
but they
Ryan,
are,
Hall, Ryan Hall but, is leaving.
But
why
they
is,
haven't
know,
got
so.
Any lack of pride or passion, those people that you've just mentioned.
Well, Phil, 13 simply not good enough.
Phil, can I ask you this question? Because we talked about this coming back in the car, and thank you again for your lift. It was appreciated.
A big argument.
Yeah, we did have a big argument.
You got freebies again, you two.
An old-fashioned Mrs. Merton-style big debate.
That was. So I basically was asking, because you were saying it wasn't about a lack of passion today. It wasn't that, and you were saying that argument you just made there about the St. Helens. Were they, you know, were they in the second half? Did they give up? I'm not saying they gave up, but I do think once you've got to a point where the game has gone, you don't care. And that's when 48 gets pushed past you and should have been 50. Ben Westwood.
Tom McGuire, look at the telly right now. We're on Look North.
But the thing is as well, I've completely thrown off, sorry. But the thing is, Ben Westwood, for instance, that was literally a spit in the face from Warrington to Leeds Rhinos of just, that is what we thought of you today. And that's because Leeds... They didn't play well in the second half, but they knew the game was gone.
It's not about pride or passion in the shirt.
Okay.
It genuinely isn't.
Well, people are getting in touch on this one, and I think Chris Heath commented this quite earlier on, so I'm coming back to it, Chris. So don't forget, if you are commenting, we'll try and come back to them. I'm trying to save as many as I can. And thank you to everyone getting in touch. Chris says, Sinfield is quick to jump in on yesterday's interview. I'm not the coach. Well, if not, at least let the coach pick the team and speak for himself. After all, it will be James Lowe's head on the block come the execution. And then Janet comes back onto it, Janet Poxton, saying, why doesn't Jimmy Lowe's do any interviews? He is the head coach. Why is it always Sinfield? He said on Saturday he isn't the head coach, so why are we seeing him doing after-match interviews and not the head coach?
Because that's part of the role of the director of rugby.
Exactly.
As set up.
But is this not a bit of a gamble? That might be, Gary Hetherington.
It's a gamble. They wouldn't have got rid of Brian McDermott if they didn't feel the need to.
But the thing is, does it
As
not
Kevin
almost...
As Kevin Sinfield said in the post-match press conference yesterday, he wouldn't be sitting there if there hadn't been a need for him to be sitting there.
Gary, what do you think?
Well, it's a role what's been given. And it's a role where, as I say, as everybody knows, Lowe's is not comfortable in doing media work. He likes to be kept behind the scenes. So this position has been set up, and when it was announced when Kevin came back, this is the role what he's going to be playing. And he is the head coach, but he's had what role?
Because he's already been said. He's not doing the coaching. He has an input into the coaching and the team selection, and part of his role is to do the media.
Gary, would you have?
So again, then, so that for me. From an ex-player's point of view, that's confusion in the dressing room. If he's selected the side and he's not doing the coaching, it's a bit strange, Phil, isn't it? It's very strange. But at the end of the day, listen, we're not going.
It's not about the coaching structure at the moment. It's about getting the confidence back into the players.
It's the players, and I'll tell you what. One thing for sure now,
and even
in these qualifiers, the team going to be waiting.
But
for
even
them.
Kevin Sinfield has never been in a run of form as bad as this. So it's uncharted territory for him as well.
Mm. Well, I think Tim's made a good point that I want you to kind of retort on this, Phil. If Leeds are playing with pride and passion, I'd hate to see them give 100%. Give over, Phil. That's what Tim says.
Rugby league players are totally committed. You have to be to take the field.
Yeah.
The same players who were being lauded for winning a grand final, we're now saying, don't have the pride and passion to play with a shirt. I don't accept that. Richard was stood with me after the game yesterday when the players were coming out from the dressing rooms. I think it's safe to say that the word dejection would sum up the mood of the Leeds players, and not one of them refused an autograph, a picture. Absolutely they care. They were soul destroyed. They cannot work out at the moment why this is happening. There are reasons why it's happening. Some of them may well turn out to be not the players that they thought they were going to be when they signed. But please do not say they don't have pride and passion about any rugby league player.
They'll be back. I think I think Brian tweeted earlier, we should enjoy Leeds being rubbish because eventually they'll be good again and win everything. So we're going to enjoy this while it's happening.
But listen, not this squad of players that won't be.
But again,
nowhere.
How much do they need to recruit, Sky?
They need at least half a dozen quality players.
No. Half a dozen. So what, in the halves?
Wait, let's have a look. In the halves. Listen, I'm sick of going on. Miley's not good enough to put a Leeds jersey on. I said that at the start of the season. He should never have been signed in the first place, right?
But is he the lesser of two evils than Joel Moon?
Joel Moon wants to go. And as I said, JJB's coming to the end. Ablett's coming to the end. Ryan Hall's leaving. You know, so there's five players from there. You know, Ryan Hall's going, as we know. But the other two guys have been warriors. They've been sensational for Leeds, Ablett and JJB. But the other two... boy oh boy, they're supposed to be the creative players. They're supposed to be one of the best players of the side. They're doing absolutely nothing. And I know Phil would say, well, behind a beaten pack. Well, I play behind a beaten pack at Leeds, but at least I'm still trying to do something. Do you know what I mean? And Brett Ferris, since he's come to Leeds, what's he been like from Huddersfield? Absolute garbage. Do you know what I mean? So, and this isn't giving me any joy in saying this, because everybody knows, you know, that the affinity what I have with Leeds Rugby League Club. But if we do not get at least six quality players, we will be going nowhere near the top four next year. We won't.
Oh, well, it's a shame for everyone else, isn't it? Don't forget, the Super 8s are coming. Let us know what you're making of them at RLNRY, at Proper Sport, on Facebook. I think we're on YouTube as well. We're on the radio. Get in touch with us this evening, live until 8 o'clock, talking Rugby League. If you have to go out, the podcast is there as well. It'll be up to just after the programme. Make sure you subscribe to that and to all our great Rugby League content, including the sixth late debate, which will be back on Wednesday. Is Ollie back off holiday?
He is. It's his birthday tomorrow, and he was surprised that I knew it.
Who's that?
Ollie Holmes.
I hope he's bringing cake.
Is it what, from Croatia? I'm telling you now, he would have brought home.
No, mate, have you got him a present?
Oh, have I got him a present?
He's your best mate, yeah.
No, of course not. I've got him a cupcake. That's about it.
You didn't buy me off for my birthday.
No, but my plan was... I've got this. The plan was, and I'm not even kidding this guy, because we were working with a company who we're not working with anymore.
We were going to get you.
You can get these things made of a cushion of yourself. And we're going to get you a cushion of yourself.
I'd have sat on him.
Well, there we go.
A bit harsh, Phil.
So we're going to get you that, but then we realised because this company were no longer with, we couldn't get it for free.
Because I involve money. And do make sure you check out, as we mentioned earlier, the Women's Challenge Cup and Shield finals are available on our Facebook and YouTube and everywhere. So make sure you watch them loads of times, because then it might make the RFL think, actually, we should do more work with these people on women's... Because Ralph sent out a statement yesterday.
Yep.
Which he said, Women's Rugby League is big now, because we had a final, and it was on the BBC website. It's great.
I mean, it's not like we didn't have a final last year.
So do we... bearing in mind that Women's Rugby League has been going for, what, 30, 40,
exactly,
probably more years?
No, it's only started. It only started last week.
So we're not rewriting history, it's just that some of the Super League monikers are now being attached to the teams, and it seems
which
to be working, and it's raising the profile. Should we now be saying, as part of... a mandatory side. We've got all this debate about whether we should have reserves as officially sanctioned by the league.
What do you think about that, Phil? Should it be brought back?
Well, should every team have a women's team now? Should we have duplicate replicate fixtures for the women and the men, maybe played as double headers where often as we can?
Well, why
is
stop
that
there?
The best way that's going to build it in the short term? Leading up to the 2021 World Cup.
Why stop there? Why not a PDRL side, an LDR, LDRL side, and 19 and stuff like that? Why not? Why stop there?
It's more established, though, isn't it?
I think you've got to test what the demand is, and it's great that Hull KR are having open PDRL trials. Widners have had theirs. I think that will automatically people will want to get involved with that. We're an all-inclusive sport, but should we now be saying that anyone who is in Super League has to have a women's Super League team attached to them?
I think if I were contacted by the RFL as a stakeholder,
I kind of am, bizarrely. Don't use that word.
Why not? That's the word they said. Well, as a person with a vested interest.
Hats off, by the way, to the Rugby League International Federation.
Obviously, you've got the semi-finals of the under-19s.
It's that they issued a press release, which had the world record number of stakeholder in it. I think it was up to 7.
Who wrote that?
Southern Hemisphere.
We've got an international calendar out as well, Phil.
Nearly. We haven't had it ratified yet. November, hopefully.
I've been told to hurry up with this one, and I think otherwise I'll get a punch to the face. Mark Wilson's going
I'll go back to my point in a minute.
Mark Wilson's going to touch. It's a question for the legend. So you know,
our very own
Mark Wilson, who
drinking
should be here.
Cerveza
anyway, since he's got a question for the legend, which of these players would get in his worst ever Leeds team? Hurry up, it's happy hour.
Listen, Mr. Wilson.
Bear in mind, you might have to speak to these people.
Yeah. Listen, Mr. Wilson, you won't allow me to do it, so you can get lost.
Thank you.
Back to women's rugby, because I was midway through.
Yeah, sorry, Phil.
I've got a couple of things to bring up, and then we'll go back to social media. If I was approached and asked, what do I think, I would say to Ralph that what they need to do is, if they're going to hold games and have them broadcast regularly, which should be a plan, is A, host them in grounds that have stable internet, like Warrington, because that was a big plus for us on Saturday. I know the venue wasn't ideal for every reason, but for that reason it certainly was. And it's a lovely facility at Warrington in terms of broadcasting, so that was good. I would have games played at those grounds. I would have double headers, but that brings in a difficulty with broadcast rights and such and so.
But also changing facilities. Yeah. Not everybody has the requisite changing.
I would have as many as I can. I would have teams play, if they can, at the grounds that the teams play at, rather than amateur rugby league grounds, because that immediately makes the game seem second rate.
And not at the same time that their men's team's playing on a different ground.
That would be another idea. And I would say to Ralph, if you want the game to grow in terms of a spectator sport where, you know, one day down the line it might make money and the players could get paid a bit of cash, because I don't know how much these players are getting paid, but I'm sure it's probably so I'd give the broadcasts, whoever produces them, whether that's us or anyone else, should be on the BBC Sport website, because they promote stuff on their Twitter feed that they're showing, whether it's pool or badminton and all this stuff. So, I would give it to them to promote, and I know this sounds like hypocrisy, but it's not. Give it to the BBC in terms of they will put out the feeds from whoever, because they will promote it. Don't hide it away on a channel no one watches, because the worry for me is someone will go to them and say, hey, Ralph, what we need to be is on telly, because telly's the most important thing. And we'll end up on Free Sport with less than 10,000 people watching. Whereas we can say right now, 21,000 people have watched on Facebook. Now, that's not 21,000 people have watched the whole 4 hours. We're not stupid. But they've watched a bit of it.
But new people are watching it. Yeah, new people are watching it. Like Barry, who's got in touch with us.
They will have shared that video with people. People will have their eyes on it. If you go onto the BBC Sport website and you see all those things at the side, say, live pool, live badminton, live rugby league, you might click on it and watch. You might go on the red button and see what's on.
If you didn't ask £50,000 for the broadcast rights in the first place, you might have got more people streaming it.
But it needs to be professional at every level, or as professional as can be for the budgets involved. You know, I'm very proud of what we did on Saturday with five people, six people.
Six max.
Six people, two cameras. You know, people working very hard.
But let's be honest, for all of that work that you put in, for the professionalism of the broadcast, if it hadn't been as good a game as it was,
of course,
people wouldn't be talking about it.
So Twitter,
the big credit goes to Castleford and Leeds and Bradford and Stanningley for creating an event.
And having spoken to players afterwards and people involved, the point they made was, if we are broadcasting games going forward, we need to make sure the games we pick are the games which have the best potential to produce close games. Now, I'm concerned when they're saying they're going to extend the Women's Challenge Cup next year, that teams are going to be in there who are going to get thrashed. And that's the slow steps. Everyone's been saying, don't just jump in and go, right, we're going to have a 14-team Super League.
But that's the problem with the RFL, what Phil's just mentioned there, about the 50 grand valuation. Mm. I'm all well and good putting a value to something, and like you say, Phil, don't ever give it away, really, for free. Mm. But you don't know the true value of it.
I know, you build value into something.
Exactly.
And yeah. I think if you were to start putting out contracts after people have seen these finals and the extent that these finals have reached outside of just the women's game, it's got a value to
and
it.
And I want to know when I'm going to see the England women's team play. Because now I've seen a lot of their players
2021.
It's too far.
Point B, because someone said I said point A. Point B is something different. A lot of people in the last week making statements about stuff. Rugby League needs people involved who know what they're doing in terms of running rugby league clubs successfully, not just people with money. A Derek Beaumont or a Marwan Kukas is not necessarily the people we desperately need to keep in rugby league, because last time I checked, Lee gambled on making the top four in the championship and failed. So that's down to their owner, who makes the decisions on who they employ, and B, Salford are in the mess they're in because they spent a load of money on rubbish players, or overrated players, or overvalued players, and now they haven't got the proverbial to proverbial in. So don't give me this, we need to keep these people with money in the game, because whether they've got that money or not remains to be seen. We need to keep people in the game who are good at running businesses.
Talking of bringing money into the game, that's the other thing that the women's game can do. Yeah. I think if you were, you had a certain product that you wanted to sell to a predominantly female market, those 160 minutes of rugby league would be a platform that you'd want to get involved in.
Well, never mind, just the women's game. I think that let's just talk about a platform for rugby league to build on in this country. So imagine, you know, we brought you PDRL games on Proper Sport. Now, I know people again might think that we're tooting our own horn. I'm ever so sorry if it's coming across like that.
We'll talk about rugby league again in a minute, don't we?
Yeah, but what I'm saying is PDRL...
Leeds will still be in crisis, yes. Don't worry.
PDRL, the women's game, even LDRL, things like that, the development of the future of rugby league, and they're also an avenue for people to see this game. And also, since we can't really do anything until realistically 2021, let's try and push our great sport in different directions. Build a platform, let's say, right, one game a week, at least an LDRL game or a PDRL game or a women's game will be streamed every Sunday at 5 o'clock on the Our League app. That's more reasons I download the Our League app. It's one of the more reasons that you can get involved and see how you can maybe go and view these games. Maybe you can get involved and support your team that have this side. And it's building a platform that you can expect to then go, right, the Our League app is Robert, where we go for streaming.
Robert Elston and Maurice Lindsay on the telly the other week on Backchat said we need to make new stars because the stars we have, as Maurice Lindsay mentioned a couple of times, Gary Schofield over there.
He did. He mentioned you.
He didn't call handsome. He's gone to sleep now.
No, he's fallen asleep.
Yeah. You where's Gary?
Yeah, I'm all right. I'm listening to you.
No, Maurice Lindsay praised you on the telly last week.
Yeah, move on.
All right, fair enough.
Move on.
But you know, Ellie Hanley or whatever.
Yeah, he didn't say you were handsome.
We need to make...
Move on. I don't want to discuss Maurice Lindsay.
We need to make new stars, right? And as much as we want to make new stars of people in Super League, we can also make new stars out of people who play in Women's Super League to attract a different audience of people. And this does not take anything away from our main product, which will no doubt always be the Men's Super League, but we can also attract new audiences and new people.
Exactly.
Because they are very marketable people. They are normal people. Go watch the Her Rugby League programme, the preview of the finals.
Yes.
Now you know wins, it kind of spoils it a bit. We've got to work together to get our sport bigger.
Jenny Welsby was great on the commentary. Jodie Cunningham's great. Georgia Roach, who played for Castleford, was outstanding.
Yep.
There's loads of stars that are in the making.
But Her RL, Rich, they're planning another programme for the grand final.
Good stuff.
So the women's grand final will have a massive preview. And if you missed out on the Challenge Cup preview, then you now know through us that you can definitely go and check that out.
We all want to work together to make rugby league bigger, and we have to make every facet of rugby league bigger to do that these days. Right, so that's that political bit out of the way, I think. We need a wake scurry up. So what's going on social media?
Yeah, plenty of people getting in touch. People are wanting to... Glenn's wanting us to go and do the show in Toronto. Would you want to go and do it in Toronto, Square?
Absolutely.
Well, there we go.
Where are we going?
Well, exactly. We'll have to give him a chat. I'm not going to reveal his number on air, although he did put it on Facebook. any views on Neil Fox?
Is he paying?
I don't know. We'll have to have a chat. Glenn, get in touch. Are you paying? Stephen Clare's got in touch saying, any views on Neil Fox declining presenting this year's Challenge Cup because he doesn't want the media to play 50 years on since Don's missed kick?
I think it's a shame because obviously if there's anyone who is... Well, I saw a tweet this weekend from the North Queensland Cowboys because Jonathan Thurston's got the third highest number of points in the NRL or something, and he's still a billion points behind Neil Fox's record, which will never be broken, as ridiculous as this is. So if anyone deserves the honour of presenting a cup, he was part of a team who lifted three times, and it should be him. But that's his decision not to do so.
I think he's absolutely right that that's the game he didn't play, and that he desperately, more than any other game, would have wished he could have done, and changed not only the course of Wakefield history, but the family history as well.
So his own brother's life would have been
and that documentary is going out before the final, so God. I can see why he wouldn't, yeah. I wouldn't be I'd back him 100% if he was also a protest about not being on the statue.
Do you know what, as well? do you know what we say about, you know, because he didn't play that fight because the directors made him play the week before, yeah. And he shouldn't have played because of a groin, but he would have played at Wembley. I don't think directors still with us, because I would love to have 5 minutes of them and say, what the hell were you doing?
What the hell
are you doing? He's the best player in the world. You know, he can win games by himself just by scoring the points. What the bloody hell were you doing? Forcing to play in a league game? Was it Halifax or something? And then the biggest game, you know, of the season at the Challenge Cup final, and he couldn't play.
I think it was the Championship final that they made him play in, but he couldn't play in both. And yeah, they decided that you got to play in the first one, and he missed the second one.
If only they'd
and in those days, to be fair, amazing. Although the Championship was a fabulous reward, the Challenge Cup final was the pinnacle of the sport.
Absolutely.
And the Women's Challenge Cup needs to be a better trophy, because it's pathetic.
You know, the Challenge Cup is, again, I keep saying it, you know, it's the biggest cup competition in the world, and they say, why Neil Fox is not on that statue, I just do not know.
Look at it.
Do not know why he's not on that statue.
No.
Well, it's Lancashire bias, isn't it?
But what they should be doing is say, if he's turned it down this year for those reasons, because it's the 50 years of the final, then we should nail him on to do it next year.
Absolutely.
Tom's point is something to ask me.
You said, obviously, we want to wake Sky up. So... here we go. All right, Andy Stewart's got in touch. Schofield.
Hold on. I was just reading the League Express. She was waffling on, so I was just reading the League Express.
That's the sixth delay debate, mate. Named you as one of the stars of the game.
Twice.
That's what I'm saying. You were waffling on
about it. You only mentioned Wigan players and you.
All right. Andy Stewart's got in touch. Schofield. So he's called you Schofield, so this sets the tone.
I've got two names before Schofield. Gary Edward, all right.
Stop getting on LFC's back about our season with the injuries and complaining about you.
Dry your eyes.
I bet
Dry
Schofield.
Your eyes. What's his name?
Hold Daily Mail, love you.
Andy. What's his name?
Andy,
dry your eyes, will you? Dry your eyes.
I bet Schofield plays a handicap of 28 plus. That what you call a bandit. I play of a handicap less than that. By the way, myself and Mark were right about Catalans. We were right.
Right, ask you what his handicap is. My handicap's 18 and we'll have a game of golf, tell him. We'll have a game of golf. And dry your eyes, because Hull are absolutely rubbish. And I speak to many of the ex-players as well, who watch them week in and week out. And let me just say this again. You know, as I said earlier, Lee Radford defending them players after that Wakefield debacle. All right, Wakefield played pretty well. But five of them players who we brought back, he put the trust in them. He put the trust in the players. He put the trust in the physios by declaring them players fit. They declared themselves fit. And when you talk about giving in, Jesus, boy, oh boy. You looked at Big Fifita when he went 50 yards, literally not a glove laid on him, and then Radders goes out and defends him. He goes out and defends him. Well, you can't blame a coach for that performance. It's the players themselves. So, what's his name, that old fan?
Andy,
dry your eyes. Simply dry your eyes, because the black and whites have been absolutely rubbish, and them players have let Radford down.
I can't remember, and if you think I've been watching Wakefield since the early 90s, I can't remember a worse performance, and that includes Wakefield, than Hull on that day. I think, you know, Highfield have been there, and, you know, teams like that, but... No, not as bad.
But
as
the
all.
Good news is, Wakefield get to play Hull again.
Yay!
This week.
And it's live on Proper Sport.
I might be coming over.
The good news is,
don't tell anybody if you are.
The good news is, you are there. The good news is, you're there.
No, I'll tell you what, Hull are brilliant. Hull are great. What a great season the Black and Whites are having, I tell you what. What a great season.
Think of the same. Love the press food.
What a great season the Black and Whites are having. And they've had injuries, you know, that's why they're not doing very well.
And the nice thing is, at 25 degrees outside, you can have soup.
The even better news is, I'm not going to be there because I want a day off. So you'll be alongside Craig Murdoch. So I'll be listening at home. The great half-hour partnership back together. I'll have a day.
Yeah, look forward to seeing you Friday, Doc. I've not seen you for a while.
So that'll be great.
Be interesting to know what he thinks about Hull and the way they're playing at the moment.
Sunday,
I'll tell you, they're not playing very well. Simple as that.
Sunday, huh? North Wales versus the Bulls on Facebook. I should tell you, by the way, Scott, because Matt Horton's been on me phone. He says, you're nowhere near the top of the tipping league, but as we all know, it starts again now on zero for the Super 8, so you've got a chance.
Who has?
You.
I've got to be in the top six.
Oh, you're nowhere near,
I've
mate.
I've been a belter for the last 6 weeks.
Nowhere near.
Matt Orton, he's a cheat. He's a cheat.
It's like referee abuse, this. This is no good, is it?
Four games for that.
Oh, dear. I know there's lots on. So we've got 50 minutes left of the programme. We haven't previewed the Challenge Shield yet.
Do we need
Championship
to...
Shield. I've got the name wrong again.
Do we need to have 5 minutes deciding whether Bolton was a success?
Let's talk about Bolton.
And ask the people that went whether they thought
I'm going to say, as someone who paid for two bottles of pop, which you can't have tops on because you might throw them at someone, that they ran out of food midway through the first half.
Right, Bolton are
of
going
the second game.
Yeah, but Bolton are really struggling at the moment. They've got the winding up order
from the team from the catering company that sold you the two bottles of pop.
They ran out of crisps. I was told by a source close to
they were
program.
Selling them at £18 a bag though to try and get the money back.
I'm glad I won there. What you don't pop and crisps? I want to be salad sandwiches.
Well, they
I'm
did
glad
have
I won there.
No, they had. A chili and rice in the press room.
Don't say
chili.
That, because people say we didn't pay for it.
Well, it's true, though, to be fair. But yeah, Bolton...
I don't know why the RFL is skint, because we get all the press room.
Bolton as a whole, personally, I spoke to, like you've already mentioned, Richard, I've had a bunch of interviews with the players from both sides of the camp, and I asked everyone, Bolton, doubleheader, what did you think of it? And everyone seems to unanimously go, yeah, I agree. Even Josh Charnley says his friends went, and in the WhatsApp group, everyone seemed to agree that it was a really good success. So it's another event, and what do we say all the time? Well, I hear you guys say it all the time, Rugby League needs more events.
Correct.
I don't think we got necessarily too many more people than we would have done if there had been separate semi-finals.
It's a good smaller stadium in a way, isn't it?
What worked was it felt like a festival.
Yes. Yeah.
That you looked out the window and you could see streams of people coming towards the ground, all wearing their colours. The car parks were full. The great thing about the stadium, a bit like Newcastle, is there's now a big retail park all the way around it. So if you want to go and have a coffee, or people didn't watch all of both games, there were plenty of other attractions. I thought, however you measure that, and the fact that it was as near to capacity as you could get, and the fact that a lot of people... I want to pay credit to a lot of St Helens fans, who it would have been very easy after their game to have gone, but next to the media area, there were quite a lot of Saints fans that stayed and watched the second game. Understandably, some Leeds fans went early. But if it works, and if the concept works, and I'd also like to pay credit to the BBC as well, because it's fine the RFL saying it was our idea, but the BBC had to change their schedules to get 5 hours of rugby league on telly.
Oh, BBC One as well, not BBC
brilliant.
Two.
Brilliant, absolutely brilliant. So if it's a success, let's quickly evaluate it and announce this week that we are now always going to have double-header semi-finals. You can buy
always?
You can buy your tickets for them now. They're online. Doesn't matter who's playing. We may even decide to take it around different venues. So let's say, again, it's got to fit in with the football season. But if we get in now and we take it to Sheffield, or we take it to Nottingham, or wherever we want to take it, let's say that now is nailed into the calendar and announce it now so people know they can be part of something.
And I say, Phil, because I was up in Workington yesterday with Keithley, and a lot of the company and people said, Scotty, we would love to come to the semi-final. I could go because, as I say, I work with Keithley now, so I was up in Workington. So what I want, make sure that it's a blank weekend of rugby league. It's all the semi-final, and if we have to play that weekend, we have a play the Friday or the Saturday.
Absolutely.
So everybody could go, because we all know up in Cumbria, if they're not supporting Workington, Whitehaven and Barrow, then they're over four-sided Super Leagues. Leeds, Saints, Warrington and Wigan, and three of them were playing yesterday. So again, there could have been at least another maybe 1,000, 1,500 people in that ground, but unfortunately they were playing the Cumbrians.
Let's say Magic Weekend isn't going to go to Newcastle for the next couple of years. Why couldn't we take a double-header semi-final to Newcastle? Just so that we're constantly populating these areas where we go to.
You don't have to sell all the tickets and open up the bottom
bowl. I'll tell you what, a double-header under lights on a Saturday night,
a year in advance,
sell out like that. Double-header under lights at Newcastle.
So whether your team's playing or not, you've got two brilliant games of rugby league and a night out afterwards.
Correct, absolutely.
You could even play it in London.
We're doing the marketing for the RFL.
I mean, you've been doing it for about 2 years, Gary. You just don't know it just yet. Toby's got in touch saying, grow the game, hold the doubleheader at the Etihad. People complaining about the catering at the stadium. So
There is an issue between the catering company and Bolton Wanderers, which the RFL couldn't have anything to do.
The RFL, can't help the RFL for that, can
you? No. RFL have got an office at Media City, haven't they, nearby. And the Super League got an office at the Etihad campus, is that right?
The performance department's
going. Rob Elson can knock on the door.
Who's hot desking at the moment?
Can we come and play?
He's what, sorry?
Hot desking.
I hate the idea of hot desking. When I was at the BBC, I hated it. Hated it.
Have they got an office to go
What's
to?
That, What's that?
Hot desking is where, basically, Gary, you never have a fixed spot. Yeah. So you just basically plug into with your laptop or whatever and you go. That's it. So you could be sat here one day, there next day, there the next day, etc., etc. Modern office.
Scully's 57th in the tipping competition, I'm reliably told.
Out of 58.
Matt the Cheat Horton.
He's not the cheat.
Is the general feeling on social media that Bolton was a success from those who went?
So Billy Painter got in touch saying that he loved it. But Bolton, massive success. This model needs to be followed again at Great Day Out. People are suggesting different places.
Toby asked why we were on the big screen, because Phil Seymour off of the telly said, tweet us, hashtag Challenge Cup with your pictures and we'll put you on the big screen. So me and Tom got on the big screen.
Yeah, sorry to everyone who did see us on the big screen
as well.
You
were wearing your desk. Your jacket?
No, we just sat
there. So no one recognised him as Mr. BBC.
It's after Tom got rid of the bird poo off
the
jersey.
What's said to Les Dawson?
Sissy and Ada.
Yeah, your pair look like Sissy and Ada then. Les Dawson and what was his name?
Roy Barraclough.
Yeah, Roy Barraclough and Les Dawson here, Sissy and Ada.
Sitting there with their arms folded.
I bet that's what on big screen you two would look.
No, that was some of our other colleagues.
I won't lie, it looked very Laurel and Hardy.
Sitting here, don't worry about that Laurel and Hardy.
Anything goes in the rugby league press box these days. It's mess around and stuff. We'll work.
Chris Heath getting in touch saying it was a great event, enough for the BBC to warrant showing it on the main channel.
Indeed. You know, for all that moaning I did before the World Cup last year when they moved the game onto BBC Two, I can't come on and say, oh. It should be on both channels.
You know, you just talked about this being a double header and, you know, having this on Saturday night. Should it be the weekend before the football kicks off?
I think there is an issue about the timing of the Challenge Cup final. Yeah. I mean, if you had a double header and the final was in May, it would work even better for me. But,
I agree. Newcastle, Saturday night, under lights. Or any big city, under lights.
And I think before the football... there's an issue if you go into football grounds. Is it going to... But if you get in there now and say, we want to hire your ground on that day, then they request an away fixture. It's not rocket science. But if you do it 6 weeks before, it's going to be difficult.
Pete wants a fan zone next time. Thanks very much for getting in touch, Pete. Yeah. Saying definitely, but a fan zone next time. There were thousands around milling outside.
Yeah. And then all queuing to buy shirts from Mascot Brown.
I'm sure they were. Oh, he's on the program. He's got a plug. He'll be listening. He listens to everything. Where would you take it? At RLNRY, at Proper Sport, Facebook, wherever you want to. On tonight's program, the Super 8 start this week on Thursday on the telly. Widnes versus London.
Wowee! Wow! Wow!
It's big for Widnes, though.
Contractual
isn't it?
Obligations Thursday. It's Widnes versus London.
Big game for Widnes.
Massive game.
Light leads. They can't afford to get off to a slow start.
Massive game.
They've got to beat the Championship teams at home.
Well, the two sides of the Championship teams won is Leeds and Widnes. You know, London won them, Toronto won them, Toulouse won them, and certainly Halifax. You know, so. Massive, massive weekends for both the clubs, for Widnes and Leeds, because
both at home, both the Championship opposition.
They've got to put a marker down, Phil. It's as simple as that, haven't they?
I think Widnes' recruitment, because you haven't been here, Liam Finn obviously has gone there.
Yeah, Liam Finn's gone there, hasn't he? Well, we said all year about Widnes, you know, they've had the quality, so they've got Harrison Hanson, who's that Australian sign.
Charlie Gubb.
Yeah, Gubb as well.
Big prop.
Lee had signed him, so he's got a Widnes link. Obviously, Finney, he'll get him around the park. He'll bring that calmness to him from there.
Will he bring the best out of Joe Mellor as well? It takes the pressure off.
Mellor's
the only creative player really in that team, so Finn and Mellor together.
You'd like to think so. I would imagine Finney from the first 10 or 15 minutes, he'll take charge, then hopefully Mellor. So that combination then. But having said that, Phil, they've only got 7 games to get it right.
Yeah.
You know, so I would imagine they'll be doing a lot of work at themselves, pair of them, in training. But they've only got 7 games. Well, to be honest, what do they need to win the quality stay? 3 games, 4
five,
games, max?
Five out of 7, I think, historically.
So there they go, but it's a massive, massive game because London, they'll just come with a smile on their face, they'll just look to express themselves and they'll see what
happens. Nothing to lose. Surprise, Liam Finn's gone to the eye pitch. I mean, there's a lot of players of advancing years that don't like playing on it.
Well, maybe he's gone there to get some experience when he goes
to
Newcastle, which is a similar service.
And also as well, is he going on the coaching staff at Wales as well? I tell you what, it's going to be a busy boy then, isn't he? Because it's 2 hours up the motorway there in Newcastle, unless he's going to be staying over there or something, I don't know. But it's a massive coup for Newcastle.
Well, for next year.
And they've got big signings on the way, apparently even more. Their intention is to try and push for promotion next year.
Right.
They're waiting for Bradford to get out of the division and then feel there's going to be another spot.
And what he will find up there is a professionally run club at that level.
Oh, they've got quality facilities.
Mick Hogan as well. Yeah. Great
you loved
chief
it up there, didn't you, Rich?
I loved it up there, yeah. Again, you know, that's... the kind of setup that teams in that division, and I know they've got the advantage of sharing with a rugby union club, so you have that advantage in terms of the facility or whatever, and a top flight. When they're saying that Coventry have, they share with a rugby union club and have the benefit of doing that. But
big game this Sunday, Keighley Newcastle. Mm. You've got them at your place, and they've gone above you in the league.
Uh-oh. Yeah, they have. Yeah, it's just all about consistency now for these sort of sides. But anyway, we will see what happens and develops. But as I say, when we look at Widnes and London, and then Hull Wakefield, you look at that fixture there, and you think, well, surely there's got to be revenge for the Black and Whites, because they were embarrassed, weren't they? Was it 4 weeks ago now? Just totally embarrassed with that result from there. So I would imagine Rellis' team talk will be simple.
And he's had a week off as well to rev him up.
Yeah, you know, Wakefield have had a bit of a week off, you know. So hopefully, you know, the way I saw Wakefield play against Huddersfield a couple of weeks ago, just a little bit, well, not a lot of intensity. We'll just put the factor six on for a week or so. I'm just hoping that, you know, that the games themselves are quality games and they take them seriously.
Here's a question then, talking fixtures, talking mm-hmm. the Super 8s. If we look at the league table and we're realistic, we're looking at a jostling of positions between 2, 3 and 4 to see who gets the home semi-final. Arguably, the game that will determine that, because I think Warrington will be slightly sidetracked by Wembley and everything that goes with it and the reaction to it afterwards. So you're looking at Wigan and Castleford. They only play each other once in the eights. That's the game that could well determine who gets a home semi, possibly against the other team.
Yeah.
Why are we playing that in round one and not round six or
and
seven?
And by the way, two coaches haven't got a lot of time for each other.
I
wouldn't say a lot of respect, because I would imagine Sean and Del, they do respect each other as people and
but
as coaches.
But why are we playing it in week one? Surely there aren't too many narratives in the eight, so have that towards the end. Maybe the latest you would have it would be round seven, but they might play each other the following week, so possibly six or five. But why one?
I don't know. Tom, do some social media after, because I'll let you get ready. After I bash the microphone and make a noise and read this, because it's my contractual obligation to read this from the good people at Pontefract Races. We've been there loads of times. It's great fun. And you'd head there for their In The Zone family dates there on the 19th of August. Experience the final brilliant family fun day of the season with tons of special events. In The Zone Fun Day is the perfect way for all the family to learn more about racing. You can walk the course, get a behind-the-scenes tour of the racecourse and meet famous horses from the past. There's also a fun fair face painting, circus and a Hunt the Golden Horseshoe competition. This guy's going there just for the face painting, I think. Not forgetting about the racing, there is the £60,000 Highfield Farm Flying Fillies listed race with some very speedy equine ladies on display. To book your family package tickets for Sunday, 19th August today, head to ponty-racers.co.uk. Easier to read this, it has to be said, than the team sheet we had for Bradford and Stanningley on Saturday afternoon, in which you can't pronounce whatever that Warrington player is. I've forgotten. You would have had no chance with the team sheet on Saturday. It was handwritten, and you had no idea. I was trying to read this out on the telly, and I had no idea how you managed to write that graphic, Tom.
But the Wi-Fi.
I mean, apologies to.
Well, I mean, we were wired, Phil.
We will apologies to
had
any.
The wire.
Yeah, the Wi-Fi at Bolton was crap. But apologies to any players from Bradford, Stanningley, Leeds and Castleford whose names we spelt or said wrongly. It's not our fault, honestly. They were written that way.
Can I just give a shout as well to my ex-club, Unswick Parkside? You know, they won the league, 4 games to go. So well done, Unswick Parkside, and also too as well.
Paul McShane.
Paul McShane's a coach today. So well done to Unswick Parkside. They're looking to go unbeaten all season. They've got 4 games to go. So well done, lads. And two lads are going on the tour to Fiji as well in big Jamie Field. What a front rower he is, I tell you what. When you look at him, you think, he can't play.
I've seen him in the paper. He's in the paper today.
He's a big boy, but again, he scored a hat-trick. I think he kicked about 5 goals. And Andy Hullock as well. Them two lads have been picked for the tour. I did a function for them last week down at Parkside, me and Sean Longington and PM. It went down very well. Raised all the funds. But just a shout-out to the Parkside lads. Well done. Many congratulations. And hopefully, you can go unbeaten all season.
There was something
well done, fellas.
Phil said, before we get to social media, no, I'll keep delaying it. Something Phil said on Saturday, between the games, that's a picture of Jamie Field on the camera you can probably see. Because Super League, when it went professional, everyone is super toned, mega fit athletes and stuff. Everything's the same. Whereas, at least in semi-pro stroke amateur sport, you get different shapes and sizes of people who do things that they the professionals don't do anymore because they don't have that same. You don't see big props anymore in that. Not in terms of big bulked up props.
Everybody will tell you now when they start. You know, in the academies and we look at the scholarship. What they will tell you now, what the scouts are looking for, they're not looking for rugby league players. They're looking for athletes. Mm. They're looking to make them athletes and then try and turn that athlete into a rugby league
graph
player.
The well, it's
wrong.
On.
It's wrong, you know. The rugby league players, and then you can develop the fitness. You know, so don't take the skills away. Don't say what they've got as a rugby league player. But the philosophy at this moment in time is simple. We've got to make you into an athlete first.
I'm not saying none of those players aren't athletes because they were running around for 80 minutes in the heat at Warrington on Saturday. But they were very
Listen, it doesn't matter if you're playing amateur. You've still got to have a decent standard of fitness, unless you're not going to compete, are you? You're not going to get to any sort of level if you haven't got any sort of standard of fitness. Why do you think these amateur lads train 3 times a week? You know, and then play Saturday afternoon.
Which is more muted. I think the full-time game has bred a decrease in space because people are faster, fitter, stronger in every team. So we have had interchanges between second rows and centres, which didn't used to happen before. Yeah. We have had, you know, loose forwards playing standoffs because we're building a genetic homogenous type of athlete. What you don't get, particularly in the women's game, is you don't get the wrestle as much because they're not full-time athletes. So they get the space and the time to show us the skill. And that's why it's enjoyable.
Yeah, but also as well, though, Phil, the wrestle's not done anything for the game, has it? It's done nothing
game. You've been proper against the sort of wrestling
and that's
wrestling coaches, haven't
you? One of the things
you?
That we never anticipated with everybody going full-time is that the dominant part of the field would be who could gain physical ascendancy, could get their winger in a 2-on-1.
But when we first went, you know, full-time professionalism, there still wasn't the wrestle about.
No,
you know, but
it's
then
come with everybody
then,
now
you know,
having
then
a wrestle room.
Melbourne Storm brought in there, and then obviously Maguire brought here, you know, so the wrestle was never brought in. And I say, it was Mal really said it to me about 3 years ago, you know, for it to be brought in, only 2 men in the tackle. Hmm. You know, and that would speed the game up. Then also too, it would bring more skill to the game.
Absolutely.
We've got a good half an hour, so we can get through loads of comments on social media. This is the great thing about only having 2 games. I know people were moaning last week we didn't talk much about rugby league, but we've had.
Yeah, sorry to everyone that thought last week was
rubbish.
Was different, but it's good sometimes to be different.
Well, it's all right because they've all gone to listen to. Oh, no. Go on, Tom.
People are glad you're back, Scott. Let's just put it that way.
Before I mention that.
Apart from Andy,
he's
the Hull fan, who has challenged you to this golf game.
Game
he goes,
golf, right?
Haha, I will beat you at golf. Kirkella Club on my course.
Got his own course.
What handicap?
Has he got money?
There's Andy Stewart.
What handicap is it?
I don't know. He's not got in touch with the handicap. He's happy to accept your golf challenge.
I'll take him on
there
the golf
go.
Challenge. Yeah, my handicap's 18, so I'll take you on the golf challenge. We very much look forward to it, eh?
Nicholas Mew getting in touch saying the big sports leagues in North America make sure their big games don't conflict with other sport. Rugby league should do the same.
I'm not sure we couldn't kick off on. Well, it depends because football's on all the time. They shouldn't kick off they shouldn't clash with. The semi final shouldn't clash with League One. That's probably the point Nicholas is making.
But the problem we've got is that if we want to be on the BBC as a double header, we have to fit in with when they can put us on. And if there's going to be football on at the same time. That's the price you pay. We didn't not get a sellout at Bolton, even though Leeds United were playing at the same time.
This is where, and I know Thursday night games are an issue for many and various reasons, not least player welfare or whatever, but the problem is the people who pay all the money for all those players you like to watch, they want them on a Thursday. So, unfortunately, it's one of the things we have to deal with. So, any more? I know there's more.
Yeah, there's plenty more.
Take somewhere else.
I think, Nicholas, I got his Elston comment, but I think we might come on to that in a little bit later. B. Ezra on Twitter thought it was all about reserves and academy regarding your 6 players that Leeds need at least to challenge for the top 4 score. He says, thought it was all about reserves and academy. Now, remind me who was shouting that mantra when others tried buying players to improve. Seems it only applies if you are successful. If you are not, it's get the checkbook.
Well, if you've got an academy and players aren't coming through, then you've got to find them from somewhere, but not all teams have reserve grades or academies.
I think there's been one thing missed in this reserve grade debate, and I don't think there's any doubt that the majority of people in the sport would like it. Therefore, that's why we should do it, because they can see the value of it. But I think you have to have a honest and frank debate about the other side, why it might be that some people don't want it. And my only feeling that what is getting lost in all this debate is we need more players.
Correct.
Before you can even bring back a reserve grade. And a, you know, the problem is that every Super League team at the moment has a fully paid up full-time squad of 25. They then have probably five players who are coming out of their academy who were attached to the first team, not paid the full wages, but will train with them. So they've got a squad of 30. Out of that 30 at the moment, you name 19. The likelihood is you're going to have maybe a couple injured. So take that to 21. So you've got nine players left before you even start an academy. Those nine players will comprise of four that could play at Super League level. Reserve grade is going to be good for them to keep them fit and at the right level. You've got five kids that are trying to prove themselves. That's good. It gives them the proving ground. But then you probably need to take those nine up to 25 to have a regular reserve team. So you've got to find another 14 players. And you've then got to times that by 12, because there are 12 teams in Super League at the moment. Can the game, at the moment, afford to people those teams with players who are going to be good enough to play Super League? Unless you fill in loads of juniors and young players and community players in areas in development into the sport.
Well, what would happen, Phil, like back in our day, what would happen? Clubs like, say for instance, Leeds from there, well, what would happen then? They'd be knocking on the door, Hunslet Parkside. They'd be knocking on the door, the amateur clubs down here, and playing under another, just to fill the fixtures on that.
So until we've got Hunslet Parkside throwing people into the not Hunslet Parkside, we've got loads more clubs throwing into the system. Reserve grade, absolutely everybody wants it. Who is going to be in it? And I'm not saying I'm a fan of not having a reserve grade. I'm just saying that that's the issue that doesn't seem to be in debate at the moment. Participation levels are incredibly low. So how are you going to put in another strata needed as it is if you haven't got the people to play in it?
Because what we're going to find in as well is that, you know, it's all right. Well, we don't have the numbers, but just say, for instance, we have the reserve from there, but they ain't going to be they're not going to be a lot of quality. So that they are not going to become Super League players, if I'm honest with you.
One of Gary Hetherington's arguments that I read today, you agree with it or not, is the fact that at the moment, virtually every Super League club is loaning or dual registering players to Championship teams.
Because they need game time.
But let's assume they were all bought back and played in the club's reserve grade, which might be the way to do it. What happens to all those Championship teams? What happens to the quality of the Championship?
Well, they'll have to find their own, won't they?
But I'm just saying, that then goes back to, are enough people playing the sport? That should the issue not be about whether we bring a reserve grade back, should the question we should all be asking is how do we get more people to play rugby league? And then when we've got more people playing rugby league, we'll have a reserve grade that's actually meaningful.
I think it's sort of one of those things that they'd like it to be simpler for the game, where they've got, you got your ahead of your main event, which would be, let's say, for instance, this week, Catalans versus Warrington, and then you've got your reserve side that are on before that. In an ideal scenario, they've got everything. Every team has got the same teams, and we could basically then you could run a mini reserve Super League and things like that.
Well, we used to have the academy curtain raisers. But Sky used to film
exactly. But is it about making the competition easier?
I just think the issue we've got at the moment, more than anything else, more than the structure that we might have, more than where the internationals fit in, how many games the players play, is we don't have a game unless we have enough people playing the game, feeding it in. What is our strategy to increase participation?
Well, will that £10 million that Sport England have got?
That's going in facilities.
So it's not going to help at all? Right, OK. Well, that's poor, then.
But for me, if I could get Rob Elston and Ralph Rimmer in a room together.
I mean, that'd be, for one, quite a good step.
Then
go on, Batcher.
And they had a blank, and they had a blank sheet of paper in areas where they both had to have a concern. Because at the moment, you know, I'm not sure Rob Elston can do a lot about participation, and he certainly can't do it without Ralph Rimmer, who is briefed to have, development comes under the RFL and not Super League. Get them in a room with a blank sheet of paper and just say, how are we going to get... What do we need to do to get more people interested in but playing the game? Where the limited money that we've got between us, how much are we going to allocate to participation? Because well, at the moment, nobody's taking responsibility
for participation,
that.
Certainly the Barla game, got to go back to the winter months.
Whatever, even if that's on the agenda, all I'm saying is...
That has been an absolute disaster, whether taking the amateur game to the summer.
Not for the juniors, I would argue.
It has, Phil.
That a lot more kids are playing in better condition. But again, whether we're discussing it, whether we're right or wrong, is this number one priority on the discussions between Super League and the RFL, getting more people to play the sport? Because if it isn't, it should be. And reserves is an offshoot of that for me. That, yes, of course we want it, but we don't want it if people... We have rose-tinted spectacles a little bit about how the reserves were when they ended. And it was exactly what you've just said. Ring up the nearest amateur club and get eight players to play a Thursday fixture because we've got six injuries and we can't fulfil it unless... And the guys that come in, yeah, they pull on the shirt, but then... It's not a quality thing, it's a fulfill a fixture thing.
Two or three times, my brother steps in, normal speak for the coach, and said, you know, half these played with two brothers, and you know, said, oh, you know, they won't fill in for us. Yeah, they play two or three times for Leeds in my two brothers. Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
I'm not having a go at West Wales here, because I know that they have sent some under 19s to the European Championship, but they played a game this week in the semi professional tier. And let's bear in mind that, you know, West Wales are playing York next week, and it could come down to promotion, could be on points difference. They had 13 players, no subs. They're not the only club. You know, Barrow have done it, and yeah. But what I'm saying is, when the issue is about we want to bring reserves back, we can't fill the professional teams with players at
but
the
also
moment.
But also, when we look at players who come out of retirement, we brought one out yesterday, James Feather. We brought one out of retirement. You know,
Buster's back.
Yeamon's come out. You know, we Hull. And, you know, it's
telling you that
exactly. Yeah,
we need to do something.
But also, as well, apart from the numbers game, we need more quality as well.
Yeah.
I think it's like you're feeding all the
you know, sausage meat at the bottom, and you get a sausage out at the top, don't you? So it's the more that you're feeding at the bottom, the quality. All right, use milk. The quality will rise to the top.
You need good quality meat, though. You don't want the you know, 50
it's like meat. I like that as an analogy.
But you know what I'm saying? What are we doing about getting more and more people playing the sport rather than worrying about how we can take what we... The transfer window that we've just had before the eights... Did we get an influx of new players, or did we just get the same players being recycled?
Well, you know the answer to that, Phil. I've got a question for you.
Rugby League doesn't have Jim White. What we need to do, though, before we get on to Tom's question, is... Because people didn't like the show last week.
Some people didn't like the show. Some really did.
So what we need to do is to talk about less about Rugby League, and if we can get Bennett's Butchers to send us some free sausages, we'll eat them on the show.
Today's meat at yesterday's prices.
That's what people like these days.
I tell you what, get sausages in here with some peas on toast. Absolute food of champions.
Last time I was on...
That's heaven. That's heaven.
Last time I was here, I made you peas on toast. I've not brought you... You've only done it once. I'm not your culinary chef, Scoey. Come on, mate. Right, Gavin Leaf's got in touch. Yes, Gavin Leaf's got in touch. I think it's Leaf. I might be having a bit of... Yeah, Gavin's got into saying, what about the other way, though, Phil? Why would lower league teams hire inexperienced kids where they can get hand-me-downs from higher leagues? You bring more people in if there's space for them.
I'm talking about a development plan, though.
So that would get rid of dual reg?
Yes, absolutely. I don't think you can have dual reg and reserves. I think you have reserves, and
that's
everybody
has
it.
Absolutely.
There's no dual reg. If you have reserve, you can't... You know, loan is you probably wouldn't need if you had your own reserve train. What I'm talking about is the fact, and I've used this example 100 times, I apologise, but Louis McCarthy Scarsbrook, at the age of 16, had never heard of rugby league. He was arguably one of St Helens' best players at Bolton yesterday. He's now 32. There are loads of other Louis McCarthy Scarsbrooks out there that we need to feed into some kind of a system to make sure that we have more and more people playing the sport so that we can populate the reserve grade with quality.
So what money are we spending on that?
Phil,
that there, just to come in there to spot more McCarthy Scarsbrooks or... You know, you Sean Longs and Lee Breeze and Kevin Simpson, look at the era. We need development officers.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
We need
development all over the country. How much of the money?
Because if we ain't got anybody going out for this talent, how are we going to bring them into the game?
I would argue, again, that when Gloucestershire All Golds and Oxford were told that they couldn't play anymore in League One, there was £150,000 there that weren't being given out to those two clubs. Now, I don't know what's happened with that £150,000.
Is it going to the new Bristol club that's on?
That isn't happening. That we could have had 8 development officers. And they could have been stationed in Scotland, Ireland.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
You know, I think there's a talent camp to be had in Ireland where there are some guys playing rugby union to a certain level who are not going to be offered a professional contract.
Where did Brian Carney come from? Gaelic football, didn't he?
So, as a sport, what I'm saying is reserve graded, absolutely, let's discuss it, and the best way to get people in it. And nobody can deny the fact that you sign for a club to pull on that jersey. And you don't necessarily want to be playing for somebody else. You want to, even if you're playing in a reserve grade, you want to be playing in that shirt.
Gosh, should it?
I get that, but there isn't a 14-year-old who's really good that's playing in the north of England at the moment that every Super League club isn't chasing. But there's a 14-year-old somewhere in Cornwall that doesn't know rugby league that could be playing initially for clubs like Keighley or in the reserve grade at Keighley, but we have to get more people playing.
Developers.
And the quality.
We've got to get more
rise.
Development officers, simple
well,
as
absolutely.
That, to look at this talent around the country.
Mark's got in touch saying the sport loses too many players at 19 by not having anywhere to go, so they're released and lost. Some go back to local clubs, others never play again. We're getting loads of comments about this, by the way, and thank you everyone who is getting in touch.
Which is a reason why you do need a reserve grade, but there has to be a quality aspect. That 19-year-old still has to be good enough at some stage to play Super League. And again, the argument of what Leeds and St Helens and Wigan have done is the kids that haven't quite made it have gone and made a career. Look, Joe Bullock is the classic example, isn't he? Released by Wigan as a winger, goes and plies his trade at Barrow. Wigan have now re-signed him as a prop. That, you know, that works. But you can only do it if you've got more people playing the game.
Ronnie, who I think he's a regular listener of Proper Sport Stuff, so cheers, Ronnie. He says, if there aren't enough players for every team to run a second team, why not have shared second teams, e.g. Cass and Waker?
Well, Hull are doing it, aren't they? In the academy.
Exactly. Academy, yes.
I like the idea of centres of excellence, so that you'd have one in the North East, you'd have one in the Midlands, which we did have and we've closed down as academies, but you'd have one in London and the South,
one in Ireland,
one in Scotland.
Yeah, but that's only for elite players.
No, for players to come and try out. There are some guys playing for Scotland under-16s at the moment. This is their first rugby league experience. They haven't come through a club system, but because we don't have clubs with junior elements in Scotland, they've been picked for the national team. Yeah, well, there's various different ways of doing it, but that's getting kids in the sport who've never been in it before. May well be that one of those kids, even coming in at 15, having never played the game before, will end up at the Hull Academy. But we have to have centres of excellence to pull them in the first place, to assess them, see what they're like, give them an opportunity, play against the other centres of excellence, have them signed up by Super League scouts.
Darren Browning getting in touch. How would a reserve league work for London, Toulouse, Toronto, Catalans, etc., etc.? Will it only work for the M62 clubs?
No, not
can't
at all.
See the teams fair away.
London
far away. Sorry, running
London
a reserve
under
team.
London under-19s have been an absolute revelation this year. Finished halfway up a division that includes Super League teams.
You're about the Broncos.
Yeah, beaten a lot of. They've beaten Leeds. They've beaten Wigan. The kids that are coming through. Matt Davis, who's just signed for Warrington, started at Leicester Phoenix in the community game, was spotted in the Midlands talent pool, brought down to the Broncos, played virtually every week for the Broncos, having graduated through their under-19s, just been picked up by Warrington. There's got to be more talent like
who's
that.
Who's this kid the London player Hull have signed?
Louis Bianic, huge prop forward.
Yeah.
Who at the moment is on loan at Doncaster because Hull don't have a reserve.
There's loads of talent out there, but as I say, we ain't got people out there to go and look at them because we're not employing development officers.
And we need a structure whereby we can bring them in, even if it's once a month, play games, assess them, get them looked at by scouts.
Yeah.
Feed them in the system.
I've got one more for Gary, which is about you were saying about the amateur era, amateur moving into summer, and there was someone that's commented about it. Saying if the amateur game in summer is a disaster, how come Beverley versus Dewsbury Celtic game on Free Sport on Saturday attracted over 1,000 people?
Well, up in Cymru, the amateur game attracts more than what the professional sports does. So it's not because it's played in the summer. No. I'm talking about participation levels here.
You're about the quality then.
I'm about the quality and the participation. I speak to loads of people in the amateur game, and the big question is we're losing numbers by the bucket loads. So that's the problem. The big problem has been because it's been moved from the winter to the summer. There's too much distractions. you know, and they say that most of the lads I would imagine have been married or they have partners and they have kids. We're not allowed to play. We're not allowed to go to training. Sometimes some amateur clubs, they don't train because the lads can't do it.
Here's another one.
They're not being allowed to.
Have we done a survey about what is attractive about rugby league to kids to make
well,
them want to play?
Well, someone's got in touch. I can't, and I'm so sorry. I do lose track of like these comments, but someone said
come in soon these, that's the
this 10 million that's been spent by Sport England might be more attractive to kids than the facilities for union. Does that make sense? The person was saying that in the comment.
The 10 million is ring fenced for facilities. Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. So it's better facilities and than union. Is it more attractive to those kids to want to stay in the league game?
I go back to the experience we had of forming the Rugby League Conference in 1996 when both Rugby League and Rugby Union went professional. One of the reasons for moving to summer in development areas, I think there might be a different argument for traditional areas, was that Rugby Union clubs were keen to offer their facilities in the summer because they needed money. So all of a sudden we went in a very short space of time from 12 teams trying it out to 200 teams playing the course of England and Wales and a little bit of Scotland. There are a lot less of those teams there now than there ever were because we pulled all the funding out of that. I think we need to do two things. One is we need to find ways of getting more people playing the game, and two, we need to speak to young kids about why they would want to play the game. Now, one of the things might be because they want to be the next Ben Barber. Well, we've got to promote Ben Barber. That's one of the things. The other thing is the game...
Not the way he's playing at the moment, I won't.
I did deliberately pick him because we're all the media apparently in love with Ben Barber.
Not the way he's playing at the moment, I'll tell
you. But the other thing is, do we need to change the rules of the game? I mean, Australia are going through this process at the moment where instead of doing it age banding, they're doing it weight banding. The idea of that is more kids will play if they're playing against kids of the same size because they'll get more enjoyment out of it. The tackling won't be as onerous because the kids that they'll be trying to get on the floor are the same sort of size.
I'm not buying into that.
The skill level will be there. The trouble is,
if you've got a huge
bloke or a couple of huge lads in a team at a young age...
It's not his fault that he's huge. It's not his fault that he's bigger than anybody else.
Does he need to play in a team where people are the same size?
But he's not going to be playing against them if, for instance, he made it all the way to professional. He's not going to be playing against a team exactly the same
sort
of size.
No, but will it make him a better player when he gets to professional, semi-professional level? Because Brendan Hill, you remember Brendan?
I remember Brendan,
when he was young, was an absolute beast, wasn't he? And at community level, and then into the academy level, into the reserves level, he was huge. But then he reached a point where Brendan was playing against men who were the same size of him at first team level, and it took him a little while to adjust because he couldn't do the things that he did when he was just physically running over. But what I'm using him as an example.
Phil, he won't fit. He was the big lad
through all his junior career.
He was a big lump, which was why he was signed.
Yeah. But when he got to senior, he met his match because he was playing against people that were physically.
He wasn't fit.
So should we look at weight rather than age, and get more people, young kids involved?
At what point do you say enough of the weight? Now get to age.
16 scholarship.
Right.
It's like boxing. Some weight divisions, mixed martial arts.
I can remember, Wayne, this is the first time I met Sean. Yorkshire School Boys against Lancashire, and Sean, the size of what he is now, but the size, you know, the tall wise, whatever, he was bigger than anybody, and literally, he just battered everybody, Sean. And Sean was the best player in the country, you know, loose forward. You talk about kicking game, you talk about ball skills, you talk about toughness and defensive wise. But Sean, with that size, and then he never grew, and then obviously people got from there. But Wayne was the same at 12, 13 years of age. You know, he was that size from there, and he never got any bigger. But what the kid had, he had ticker, he had toughness and sheer quality as a rugby league player. So I don't buy into that scenario.
No, I'm just wondering if more kids, particularly in development areas, would get involved in the sport if they didn't have somebody running over the top of them every week because they were just physically bigger.
Well, it's called learning and get more experience to get a little bit better, Phil. That's what that's called, I'm afraid to say, isn't it?
It's nearly time for predictions. Any last things on social media that aren't people having to go at Toronto for no reason?
Well, in which case, then probably not. plenty of people get in touch about the Toronto. I do want to actually bring this one up, though.
They seem to get plenty of stick Toronto, don't
they? Because they're foreign.
Nobody seems to like them, do they?
Dale Mackerill's asked, why do Toronto think it's okay to have qualifiers at home, their qualifiers at home in a row?
I think
that's just fair. So it's okay that the French teams do it, but not them. So you want to be in the English Super League, then you have to be treated the same.
What I would say is read the next issue of 40-20.
They've got two games in a row.
Brian Noble will tell you the process behind this, but without spoiling the story, Toronto are paying £300,000 to be in the qualifiers.
But this is what people in the comments are sort of kind of worried about. Pete's going to it saying that Toronto wouldn't get a reserves. They'll just buy up young English kids and dual reg them into other UK clubs.
So you mean like clubs in Super League do already?
Exactly.
Like there are teams in the Championship who we don't have to name.
Toronto
who are high in their division because they've got players from other big clubs.
Toronto are not the same because they need time to help develop the game in Canada. There is nothing there at the moment. If we've allowed Toronto to be in, then we brought them in the knowledge that they don't have any players in their backyard.
If they have reserves, though, Phil, who are they going to play?
Well, the problem is at the moment they need to help to find the players for a competition in Canada between various provinces
so
in Canada.
So get all the decent players in Canada and then...
Yes, please.
Right, and then you want to pool them and then get them into the Toronto side. Is that what you're saying?
Or even if they're flying over, we don't know what division they're going to be playing in, but if they're coming over to play Super League fixtures, just bring your reserve team. Our under-19s all take a team to Catalan at the moment.
Yeah.
It needed to be factored in when the due diligence was being done about bringing Toronto in the first place. But there are various issues as regards flights, broadcasting and hotel accommodation that Toronto are stumping up the bill for the eights. So anybody who thinks they're getting an advantage, they are paying an extra $300,000 to make sure that there is smooth transport out for teams to play them in Canada.
Next Saturday on Sky, there are three games of rugby league. Salford versus Widnes in the heartlands of the north of England.
Crowd probably 3,000.
Three people. Followed by Catalans versus Wigan, which is going to be a big crowd to wave them off.
Yeah, a Wembley celebration. Crowd probably 10,000.
And the third game is Toronto versus Hull KR.
Which they're hoping...
Toronto versus one of the traditional clubs.
And Hull KR fans have been on social media saying how much they booked the trip and how much they're looking forward to it. I reckon, again, they could get 10,000.
We go
fantastic.
Back time and time and time again. And though you may not like Toronto, you may not like the way they play or the players or some of the people they have employed, the fact of the matter is they add more to the game at this moment in time than many of the other clubs further down the leagues who've had 130-odd years to be better. And I know my club has a crap stadium, so stop using that as an excuse, as people did last week when we were talking about Castleford's ground. It's the same thing. Everyone's had the same time to build their stadiums, to be in the position they are, and after 100-odd years of rugby leagues, I can't do the maths, there's a reason why Saints and Wigan and Warrington and Castleford are near the top, and at the bottom are teams who've been around, like Hunslet and Whitehaven, and Bradford or whatever.
I would say is that as of where we sit now, Toronto have taken no finance out of the game. They've paid their own way through League One and the Championship. Now, people may think they get preferential treatment, but in that regard, they have not.
And I know Gary said this. Phil knows who knows everything, how much crowd can afford to go over there. I know it's expensive to go to Toronto. I've not been. I probably never will go to Toronto. But
yeah,
that's unfortunate. And I've said this point before, and it's unfortunate, but that's life.
Let use Catalan as an example. When the fixtures when the fixtures come out, a lot of fans choose to the away game at Catalan if it's the right time of the year and they make it into an event. Use Castleford as an example. Castleford's travelling support to Catalan this year, I think, was 1,500. That is phenomenal. Nobody's forcing them to go there. 1,500 Cas fans have said, we want to make an event out of this. What's wrong with that? Why is that a negative then?
Everything's expensive.
It is, but you choose how and where to spend your money on. And I don't know how what the Castleford away following has been at all the other away games they've been to, but I suspect to most grounds it won't have been more than that 1,500 that went to the Dragons.
Two traditional clubs in League One yesterday got 607 people in the hotbed of rugby league that is coming, with two teams with something to play for. So it's expensive to get to Cumbria. It's expensive to go to London. It's expensive to go everywhere. You can't go watch every game now unless you're rich. That's just a fact of life.
And it's actually quicker to fly to Toronto than it is to sit on the M62 these days.
If you're a football fan and you have to go abroad to watch your team in Europe and or whatever, you're fans of rugby union clubs in the European Cup where they play however many games.
I would point people to the Featherstone website at the moment. Featherstone went to Toronto with little hope. I think there were 10-1 outsiders, 16 players, a debutant on the wing from the Leeds under-19s who, he would admit is not yet ready to probably play the likes of Toronto. Fans booked in hope rather than expectation. Go on the Featherstone official website, read the responses of people that went and what a fantastic time they had and how welcome they were made and how much they enjoyed it. And nobody mentions the cost. They went for the event and the experience and they loved it.
Prediction time now, because we're being negative again now. Well, I think we're being
positive.
Mr. Negative.
About what?
We'll get someone to shout.
Not today.
Let's go to a game.
That was Saturday.
I know, mate, I know.
Apologies to listeners in League One and the Championship Shield. We will not be predicting your games this weekend because there's the qualifiers and the Super 8s, and we'll start on Thursday with Widnes versus London. It's on the telly. Gary Schofield.
London fans, you're going to be absolutely delighted. I'm going for London to beat Widnes.
Well done, Widnes.
I think Widnes recruitment will see them through, so I'm going Widnes.
Phil, you're going against the London Broncos.
Yes, yeah, I think Widnes will win. I don't think London will get promoted, so I'm going.
Just because your mate there, Francis Cummings, don't be having any sense.
That's one of the reasons, obviously. Ward at London, so
I'm going Widnes.
Widnes, okay. On Saturday, Friday, Hull KR Salford.
Hull KR Salford. Well,
that is an interesting.
Hull KR are playing pretty good at the moment. Plenty of confidence. Yeah. Even though Salford had a good win last week against Leeds, I'm going for Hull KR to keep going.
I'm not sure. I think Jackson Hastings, Joey Lussick are going to make a difference. Rovers are in a pretty good place. They've got some players coming back as well. Todd Carney. I think this is a really interesting one. Salford, narrowly.
Draw.
I was going to go draw. It must be in that seat. To please the Salford fans who say we've ignored them today.
Hello, Gemma.
But who really cares about Salford?
Hello, Gemma.
I'm Gemma Carter with her Catalan flag yesterday. I think she enjoyed the Challenge Cup semi-finals because of Richie Milo on the telly more than anything else. But moving on quickly, we will go with Salford.
Enough of the changing room camera.
He's a big lad.
I'm sure. John Wilkin, he's a fan of that not being on.
Philip, stop it.
Yeah. Good for Helen. Super 8's Friday. Hull versus Wakefield. Massive game. It's live on Proper Sport.
Yeah, Hull can't be as bad, can they, what they were around about 3 weeks ago. So I'm going for the black and white to get the revenge, Rich.
Yeah, I think so. I'm trying to get excited about it, but listen to it. Listen to it on Proper Sport.
Yeah.
Hull by 10.
Whitefield. St Helens versus Huddersfield.
Huddersfield are playing too good, you know what? And St Helens, they'll still be moping, don't worry about that. And the way the Giants are playing, I'm going for the Giants to turn Saints on. I'm going for the Giants by 8.
I think there will be some kind of... I don't know. You might be right. Huddersfield have had a week to prepare.
What do you mean I might be right? I'm always
right.
Well,
make a change.
What do you mean I might be right? I'm always right.
I'm going with Saints. I think they'll bounce back.
Huds.
Yeah, I'm going to Huddersfield. I've cocked up the timings here. We've got less than a minute. Warrington Cowlands will ignore. Wigan Cass, quickly. One word answer.
Yeah, big one. I'm going for Cass. I'm going Cass by 10.
Cass.
Cass. And Leeds versus Toulouse.
Leeds to lose there. Yeah. Leeds in crisis.
Yeah, Leeds to lose. I'm going to lose. Leeds. Toulouse by 8.
Leeds.
Leeds by 1.
Leeds.
Tom, what sort of comments are that? That's pathetic.
next week.
That's perfect.
Nobody can drop
Tom
a goal
Maguire.
At Leeds. It can't be
next
by
we'll
one.
Bring a
perfectic
new quiz.
Tom Maguire.
We'll bring a new quiz next week.
Get out of the studio.
Parcel or Forcel. But time has beaten us. We're live on Friday, Hull versus Wakefield. Tune in, it'd be great. Followed by on Sunday, the North Wales Wales versus the Bulls on Facebook. Go and watch all our stuff. We're going now because the news is coming up.